chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. They've been playing all day on local radio and privately to family members of 9/11 victims. The frantic calls 4.5 years ago from the World Trade Center to 911.
On the northwest side, there's a woman hanging from an unidentified person hanging from the top of the building.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's all the information.
Tapes the city was forced by the courts to release, but says WCBS reporter Peter Haskell, what came out were edited versions.
Al Santora wants to hear what the callers had to say. Santora is a retired FDNY chief whose firefighter son was killed on 9/11.
We need to understand and learn from the deaths of these people.
Attorney Norman Siegel says little can be learned without the unedited tapes.
Not having the caller's voice takes the guts out of the 911 tapes and transcripts.
Siegel says he'll continue to fight for the full release. Peter Haskell, CBS News, New York.
It was more than appearing to be a throwback to Watergate. It was. There sat former Nixon White House counsel John Dean telling senators, had Richard Nixon been given a warning, censured, as they're now trying to do to President Bush over warrantless surveillance, the Nixon White House might have survived.
To me, this is not really and should not be a partisan question. I think it's a question of institutional pride of this body, of the Congress of the United States.
Few, however, give the effort to censure President Bush any chance of success. Gaining traction on Capitol Hill today is yesterday's altercation between Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney and a Capitol Police officer. One account had McKinney not being recognized as she went through security in a House office building and then hitting an officer who reached out and placed his hand on her.
This whole incident was instigated by the inappropriate touching and stopping of me, a female black congresswoman.
McKinney's lawyer wants a criminal investigation of the officer who is alleged to have touched Congresswoman McKinney. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez announced today in Los Angeles $15 million in federal money to be doled out to Los Angeles and five other areas to fight street gang violence. Gonzalez said gangs have become an increasingly deadly threat to Americans. The other five are Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Tampa, Cleveland, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Milwaukee. No verdict today in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. The jury is considering whether the Al-Qaeda conspirator is eligible for the death penalty. Stocks were narrowly mixed today amid a fresh drop in oil prices and a new round of economic data that eroded some concerns about inflation and higher interest rates. In late afternoon trading, the Dow finally slipped 41 points. The Nasdaq had lost a point. This is CBS News.
Hi, it's Judy from Northwind Traders, the region's leading gourmet food superstores. We've got some really terrific deals on fresh produce this week that I want to tell you about. For example, fresh strawberries, $2.50 a pound. Hothouse medium-sized tomatoes, $1.49 a pound. And large artichokes, $2 each. Good stuff. Now, one warning, we may not have any of these items in our stores. We've had a lot of trouble with our complicated computer system lately, processing orders and deliveries and so on. So to be honest, we're not exactly sure what will be in the store near you. But why not pop in and surprise yourself? It's part of the fun of shopping at your Northwind Traders Superstore.
Even some successful businesses could use help with supply chain dynamics. That's why there's Microsoft Dynamics. Powerful, people-ready business management solutions that can deliver an easy-to-use system that unites even your most far-flung supply chain links. Plus, Microsoft Dynamics can help you with CRM and financial management. Visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
10 months and there is still no sign of missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. But CBS News correspondent Alina Sagani says police in Aruba have stepped up their search.
Investigators are digging, and they're using radar equipment and cadaver dogs searching the northern tip of the island. So as they dig through the sand dunes, they are looking for a specific burial location.
A Dutch crime reenactment TV show is filming Dutch police officers on the island. and they boast of a 30% success rate in 22 years of broadcasts. It must have been just one of those days for a truck driver in Savannah, Georgia. He was spotted by police carrying a loaded rifle, walking through standing traffic at a snarled intersection, apparently looking for his truck, his towed truck. Toad rage. Officers with guns, even the SWAT team didn't work. Then an officer pulled out a can of pepper spray and used it. In this case of toad rage in Savannah, Georgia, ended. I'm Lou Malegano, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-41-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-41-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-41-GO-NOW. Call now.
Grove and our good friends in Freedom. The terrorists hate our freedom. And we're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. On a good day, we're rocking Ferndale. This is a live, unscripted, progressive radio talk show where you can call in and yak with the host. That's how we do it every day from 3 to 6 p.m. On the Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. If you're in Eureka or anywhere else within the sound of my voice, it's a toll-free number, 1-888-579-2540. And if you'd like to correspond with me on the Internet thing, email Peter at peterbcollins.com. And if you don't like me, email bigmouth at peterbcollins.com. I'll get it either way. On our program today, in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by our counsel, Professor Marjorie Cohn, constitutional law professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. We're going to talk about the incredible demonstrations on behalf of America's immigrants that took place last weekend and into the week. We're also going to talk about the Supreme Court oral arguments in the Hamdan case earlier this week. After 3:30, we'll be joined by Sybelle Edmonds, a true American hero. She was working as a translator at the FBI after 9/11, and she blew the whistle on some shenanigans of her co-workers and superiors, and she's been under a court order to speak to no one, and she's been defying it. We'll talk about the status of her case and other whistleblowers coming up at 3:30. We'll spend an hour with our military and veterans affairs contributor, Scott Dick, between 4 and 5 today, and he wants to talk about how badly the media has performed, you know, failing to bring home the good news from Iraq. Assemblyman John Laird makes his weekly visit. The Democrat from Santa Cruz will be with us just after 5 o'clock. And we're going to talk about the only ballot measure that voters will be facing in the June primary. Yeah, we had, what, 8 or 9 of them last November, an all-initiative ballot. This time around, it'll be mostly candidates. But Prop 82 is Rob Reiner's new measure to provide preschool for all in California. And it's got some good aspects and some questions. So we'll talk about that with the Assemblyman. And then our weekly visit with Brad Friedman, who is the proprietor of bradblog.com. That starts about 5:20. And he's got important news about Ann Coulter. She could be in trouble for violating voting laws. We'll also talk about Diebold's and Sequoia's latest efforts and the activity in Leon County, Florida. That's Tallahassee, where, they've actually issued subpoenas to get electronic voting machine companies to come back and offer to do business with Leon County. We'll talk about that. And also, Brad's been monitoring the hearings, the debate in the Senate in Washington today regarding Russ Feingold's censure proposal. So that's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and that's a lot. We're going to talk about all those things and much more. So call me when the urge strikes you, as long as the First Amendment is still in full effect. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's taken more than 30 years. But finally, a scientific study confirms what Jim Morrison told us in an album released in 1970 called The Soft Parade.
When I was back there in seminary school, there was a person there who put forth the proposition that you can petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer.
Oh, yeah?
Petition the Lord with prayer.
Well, is it true?
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer!
Well, a study of 1,800 heart bypass surgery patients found that those who had other people praying for them had as many complications as those who did not. In fact, one group of patients who knew that they were subjects of prayers fared worse. This was a $2.4 million study funded by the John Templeton Foundation, and they took a look at these heart patients, monitored them, and I guess there were three groups, one that knew they were being prayed for, one that didn't, and I guess the rest were atheists and agnostics. And, of course, people who believe in prayer don't believe in scientific studies like that. On this program, we have followed the various ethics scandals in Washington, D.C., and another body has dropped. The former aide to Tom DeLay pleaded guilty today to conspiracy and promised to cooperate with a federal investigation of bribery and lobbying fraud that has so far netted three convictions. This is Tony Rudy. He was Tom DeLay's former chief of staff, and he admitted to conspiring with Jack Abramoff, now a household name, wearing a rather bland baseball cap at his most recent court appearance, not the fedora. And Rudy worked for DeLay, and then after he worked for him to become a lobbyist himself, he faces up to 5 years in prison, but he's going to sing and see if he can get that sentence reduced. And, of course, this tightens the noose on Congressman Bob Ney of Ohio, Congressman John Doolittle of California, Congressman Duncan Hunter of Southern California, and a few others who have been very cozy with Abramoff over these past few years, part of the K Street Project and all that. And one more item here. Condoleezza Rice made some comments outside of the country, which are, you know, minor concessions. On Friday, she conceded that the United States probably has made thousands of tactical errors in Iraq and elsewhere, but it will be judged by the larger aims of peace and democracy in the Middle East. You got to get there first, Condi. She met loud protests in the streets, and I believe this was in London. I'm trying to find the reference here. Yeah, it was. She met these loud protests and skeptical questions at a foreign policy salon. She replied that leaders would be brain dead if they did not absorb the lessons of their times. I know we've made tactical errors, Condi said. Thousands of them, I'm sure. But when you look back in history, what will be judged will be, did you make the right strategic decisions? Oh, it's the strategery, Condi. How could I have missed that? Rice said she's not surprised by the depth of opposition in Britain. I've seen it in every city I've visited in the United States. People have strong views. Well, thank you, Condi. Here was a previous admission of hers.
The president quoted a British paper. We did not know at the time. No one knew at the time in our circles. Maybe someone knew down in the bowels of the agency, but no one in our circles knew that there were doubts and suspicions that this might be a forgery. Of course, it was information that was mistaken.
Oh, gosh, Condi. Just one of those errors, one of the thousands of errors. We do have occasional moments of honesty from the Bush administration, inadvertent as they are. 14 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a break and return with Professor Marjorie Cohn, Professor of Constitutional Law, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show live in Santa Cruz, Monterey, and Salinas, live in Eureka and Arcata and Humboldt County, and coming soon to Sacramento and Phoenix. We start in those two cities on April the 10th. Our music of the moment from Carlos Santana. This one is called Migra, Migra. And today is the official birthday holiday for Cesar Chavez. And it's the perfect timing to talk with Professor Marjorie Cohn. She's at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She is the incoming president of the National Lawyers Guild, and she joins us on the program quite often. In fact, she could submit a bill. We just wouldn't have any money to pay it with. Hello, Marjorie Cohn.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm fine, and I'm delighted that you're expanding.
Well, it's exciting. Yeah.
It is.
We're going to just keep going as far as we can.
Excellent.
Reach as many Americans as possible.
Wonderful.
I wanted to talk to you about two of the powerful pieces that you posted at truthout.org this week. And first up, let's talk about the immigration debate and the rights of undocumented people in America. And it was amazing to see 500,000 people fill downtown Los Angeles last Saturday. 20,000 people marched in Phoenix. Over the week, a lot of students took the message to heart and walked out of their classes. Some of them may have been imitating an HBO movie that I saw last Saturday night. But whatever the inspiration was, we're seeing a very strong statement from the immigrant community and their citizen counterparts in this country. I find that very encouraging, unlike the debate in Washington, D.C.
Well, I agree with you, and in my piece that came out today on TruthOut, I call it the new civil rights movement. I don't think we've seen such masses of humanity protesting in the streets since the 1960s. And this is really an unprecedented alliance that came together around this issue of immigrants' rights. You have churches, labor unions, immigrant support groups, Spanish language, radio and television. And I do think it might have had something as well to do with the Edward James Olmos film Walkout that you talked about, the HBO film.
Mm-hmm.
Which fortuitously was shown just about the same time or maybe a couple of weeks after the House of Representatives passed a draconian bill, and I think that was really the impetus for these demonstrations.
The film was pretty interesting, and I accidentally surfed into it. I was spending an exciting Saturday night at home last weekend working on my income taxes, and I flipped through the channels, and I was really struck by the film, so I want to recommend it to people. HBO replays their films a lot, so find a way to see it because I think it made an interesting impact. But let's talk about the debate, and you know, they've tried to frame it around amnesty versus something else, and I believe that the hardliners in the House have taken a position that is not really in sync with the American people, and it does appear that despite Republican control of both houses, that the Senate is taking a more moderate line. And if it is successful in conference in pushing out the draconian elements of the House legislation, such as that any person undocumented is a felon, or, you know, some people have tried to water it down to a misdemeanor, but incriminating that status is not going to help the problem, in my opinion.
It's not. You know, the interesting thing is that the House passed a bill which was just horrible. It would make all undocumented workers and immigrants in this country into felons. It would also make felons out of people who employed them or churches who sheltered them. And it would build a 700-mile-long fence along the border to try to keep people out. It's quite draconian. The Senate is debating a few different bills, and the one that came out of the Senate Judiciary Committee is the one that hopefully will have more traction in the Senate. And then, of course, whatever comes out of the Senate will have to be harmonized with the House bill. But there's still some problems with it, but it strikes a more reasonable balance because the Senate Judiciary Committee bill would legalize the 11 million undocumented immigrants here now and provide them with an opportunity to become citizens under certain conditions. They have to stay employed, they have to pass certain criminal background checks, learn English, civics, pay
fines. $1,000 fine, where did that come from? I mean, these are people who earn the least in our society, and we're going to that's like giving a homeless person, you know, a $1,000 fine for panhandling.
You're right, and it's not a perfect compromise. In fact, there are provisions in there that are not good, but it does allow people to, I mean, you're right, and paying the fines, I think it was a bone that they're throwing to try to get a compromise. I mean, John McCain signed on to this bill, and it also would set up a temporary worker program to allow 400,000 foreign nationals to enter the U.S. each year, and they could be granted citizenship as well. But what's, I think, really interesting about the debate that's going on in the Senate is that the Republicans are split. There are some that are saying, you know, these people are taking jobs away, they're hurting our national security, even though there's never been any indication that any of these people who are crossing from Mexico into the U.S. are terrorists. And then on the other hand, there are other Republicans who are mouthing compassion, but really are protecting big business who wants cheap labor.
Yeah.
It's very, very complex, and there's so many different possible outcomes, none of which I think will be perfect in terms of really dealing with the problem.
And in an election year, I'm sorry that an issue like this brings out the worst in both Democrats and Republicans.
It does. They're all looking over their shoulders, and people are, you know, immigrants have always been scapegoated throughout the years for anything that's going wrong in this country. And
Marjorie, let me pause here just to shift gears because our time is limited, and I want to direct people to truthout.org where they can read the piece called The New Civil Rights Movement, and I think you make some great arguments there. Also, on Tuesday, you posted a piece called Supremes Consider Kangaroo Courts. This was following, or actually, I guess you wrote it in anticipation of the oral arguments that occurred on Tuesday. First up, I agree with you that Justice Scalia should recuse himself. He made those statements in Europe, basically just dismissing the rights of detainees and linkage to the Geneva Conventions. And to me, that is a significant statement of bias on his part, and he should not be hearing this case.
It's true. I mean, this case is the Hamden case, and in it, the Supreme Court will decide whether the military commissions, I call them kangaroo courts, that Bush set up to deny due process to these people at Guantanamo are legal, and they'll also decide whether the Congress, in passing this compromise at the end of the term last year, basically did away with habeas corpus for Guantanamo prisoners.
That was the Lindsey Graham legislation that was watered down by Carl Levin, but it is a remarkable effort to change the law as a case is ripening before the Supreme Court.
Right, that's exactly what it is. In terms of Scalia, he's already prejudged this case, which is a clear ground for recusal, which means he should not sit on the case. He talked in Switzerland. He said he denied the detainees have any legal rights. He said war is war, and it has never been the case that when you captured a combatant, you have to give them a jury trial in your civil courts. I mean, he's really prejudged the case. But he didn't step down. He sat on the arguments. John Roberts didn't, because John Roberts ruled against Mr. Hamden in the Court of Appeals before he came up to the Supreme Court.
Before he was offered the job,
exactly. And the day that he was being interviewed by Bush, he ruled against Hamden and in favor of Bush. In terms of the argument that took place, it looks like Alito, Scalia, and Thomas, who never says anything, will likely rule against Mr. Hamden in some way. The others, Breyer, Ginsburg, Kennedy, Souter, and Stevens, showed little appetite for Bush's argument that Congress suspended habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is the great writ. It's only suspended in times of national rebellion and emergency, and that's not happening here.
The Constitution is very clear on that.
Very clear. Justice Souter took the issue of Bush's unbridled arrogation of power head on. Souter asked the government lawyer, what would stop the president from setting up military commissions in Toledo, Ohio, as well as Guantanamo? And in my mind, the answer is clear, and that is the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the Supreme Court will put the brakes on Bush's unprecedented claims of executive power.
Souter is never going to get invited to the ranch or the family bash in Kennebunkport or the Christmas party at Jupiter Island, Florida.
That's true. It's a shame. But,
Marjorie,
you know, of these,
I'm sorry, we're out of time, but
okay.
I want to thank you for joining us again today and urge people to read your piece at truthout.org, Supremes Consider Kangaroo Courts. That's Marjorie Cohn. Coming up next, Sabelle Edmonds here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today, 831-641-0236.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Nissan Armada 4x4, a massive SUV about the size of Toyota's Land Cruiser, as I call it. The Armada's huge power plant is a 5.6-liter fuel-injected 8-cylinder engine delivered through a smooth 5-speed automatic. With full-time 4-wheel drive, the Armada passed our grueling hill climb test with ease. Inside, the Armada seats 7 in comfort, with a full array of accessories and power toys, including power sunroof, rear lift gate, backup alarm, Bose sound system with satellite radio, and DVD system with wireless headphones for the kids. If you need to move a small army and don't care about gas mileage, test drive the Armada before you buy a Suburban or Expedition. By the numbers, the Nissan Armada 4x4 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $44,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
I'm Peter B. Collins, and joining me today is Sybil Edmonds, a great American whose life has been made miserable by the Bush administration and, in particular, former Attorney General John Ashcroft. Sybil, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Good evening, Peter. Thank you. Good to be back.
It's nice to talk with you again.
And just by way of a little background, because some people may be joining us and not have heard our previous conversation, Sibel Edmonds is a Turkish-American, an American citizen, who was hired at the FBI shortly after 9/11 when they decided, and rightly so, that they needed to beef up their translation team. And while she was working there, a number of disconcerting things developed. There was a co-worker who was pigeonholing certain intelligence to favor friends of hers. There was a supervisor who was telling Sibel that she was working too hard and completing her work too quickly. And at certain points, he would go into her computer after she left work and delete the files that she had been working all day on. And when she complained about it, he said, well, just go ahead and do it again. And the intent was to create a backlog of untranslated documents and intercepts that could then be used to argue for a higher budget for the FBI in the ensuing budget year. And all of these have been affirmed by the Inspector General of the Justice Department itself. So these are not some wild-eyed allegations from a disgruntled employee. These are serious charges from an earnest and sincere American who is fighting for the rest of us. Sibel, do you disagree with anything I just said?
Well, no, you summed up pretty well. And as you know, the Attorney General at the time, Ashcroft, also gagged the United States Congress by retroactively classifying all the files and letters they had on their websites on my case. And also, I was gagged after the 9/11 family members issued subpoena for my deposition, and they prevented me from testifying before these attorneys. And the list goes on, of course.
And is the gag order still in effect under the State Secrets Act?
The interesting thing is this, Peter. Nobody knows. I mean, they have issued so many gag orders and retroactive classification and invoking state secret privilege in this case. Nobody knows what these gag orders mean, because, as you know, based on their gag orders, even my date of birth, the place of birth, everything is considered classified, top secret classified. So if you were to go by their designation of classification, then my driving license would be considered a top secret document. And how ludicrous would that be?
Well, and wouldn't we have to give you a new name like Paris Hilton Jr.?
As you see, I mean, this administration has gone beyond any administration in invoking secrecy and privileges, and they do everything to block information, and they just don't want informed citizenry in this country. That's what their goal is.
Now, you've been quite courageous, at least in talking with me. You and I have talked maybe a dozen times over the last 3 years. And I certainly appreciate that, and I applaud it. Has anyone come knocking on your door and said, excuse me, Ms. Edmonds, you're under a gag order?
No. They are saying this to the Congress, and they invoke the privilege with the Congress and with the courts. But to this date, they have not gone and taken out all these articles that have dealt with my case, or as you just mentioned, the interviews, the audio tapes of all these interviews. This is why I'm saying it's so ludicrous that nobody understands what do they even mean by these gag orders.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you able to work? Have they blackballed you or made it impossible for you to earn a living?
As a government employee, yes, but not in the other areas. And as you know, I started my own organization about a year and a half ago. It's National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, NSWBC. And we have over 85 national security whistleblowers from the FBI, NSA, CIA, and other intelligence and law enforcement agencies.
Mm-hmm. And so I have an item up on my screen right now, March 24th. Your legal team made a filing to get the judge in the case to recuse himself. This is Reggie Walton, and this judge has been rather secretive. Maybe you can detail that for us in a second, but it's important to note that he is also presiding over the Scooter Libby trial. What was the basis of your request that he withdraw or recuse himself?
Sure. Let me sum it up here. When I initially filed my case under the First Amendment in July 2002, the cases in the federal district court, they get to be assigned to judges randomly. And the judge who was assigned to my case was Judge James Robertson. Mm-hmm. And this is the judge that recently quit the FISA court because of the NSA's illegal eavesdropping.
Right.
And about a few months later, without any explanation, while this judge was residing on my case was removed from Judge James Robertson and was given to Judge Reggie Walton, who was recently appointed to this court by George W. Bush. And we asked for justification, and the court didn't provide us with any justification. Then my attorney and I, we filed a request saying that this, if they have to remove it from this judge, they have to assign it under this court's rules to another judge who is dealing with my relevant case, which was filed under Freedom of Information Act. And the courts agreed with us, and they removed the case from Judge Reggie Walton, and they reassigned it to this other judge. And a few days later, we were notified that it was removed again, the case, and it was assigned to back to Judge Reggie Walton, again, with no reasons provided. Then we started investigating Judge Reggie Walton's background, and we found out that he happens to be the only judge out there, federal judge, whose entire financial disclosure statement is redacted. By law, all these federal judges should disclose their financial statements, because how about any conflict of interest they may be facing with some of the, you know, either a plaintiff or a defendant, right?
And Sibel, as an example, Sam Alito, when he came before the Judiciary Committee to be confirmed for his appointment to the Supreme Court, had to go through his disclosure statements, and a very key issue was raised about his failure to recuse himself from matters related to Vanguard Mutual Funds, which is where he's parked most of his money.
Exactly, Peter. So we went with the superior judges, and we requested that he'd release this financial disclosure, and they declined it. So if you go to a website, I believe it is posted under judicialwatch.org, which is a separate entity, it's an organization, government watchdog organization, you will see hundreds of financial disclosure statements by all these judges, federal judges in the country filed. You come across Judge Reggie Walton's financial statement, everything is blacked out. Everything, except for his name and the date, everything is blacked out. So if he is on the board of directors of some companies or organizations or entities, they are all blacked out.
Hmm. Do you think is he in the witness protection program, or maybe he's been subjected to a gag order like yours?
Well, again, his background raises all these questions, good questions, because when you look at his background, he was his mentor was William Bennett, and later he was working during Bush Sr. in the White House as a deputy drug czar. And what is interesting is during this time, Cheney was there. During this time, Scooter Libby was there. So here you have a judge that later gets to be assigned, supposedly randomly, to Valerie Plame's Scooter Libby case. And again, it raises the question, how did this assignment occur? And the reason we filed with Judge Reggie Walton requesting that he recuse himself is to bring the public attention to this issue. Here you have a judge that does not follow the rules, but that has to be followed by the federal judges in terms of disclosing your financial statement. And here's a judge, there are so many questions around his assignment. How does he get to be assigned to these high-profile cases where the executive branch, the White House, has the reason to invoke privileges? And we'll see where that one is going to lead us.
Yeah, this is fascinating, and it reveals a whole new layer relative to the Libby prosecution that we will now have to watch more vigilantly. And, Sibel, what is the expectation of your attorneys on this filing?
Well, this was filed pro se because, as you know, every single legal claim that we have had without going through any trial or hearings have been gagged. As you know, Judge Reggie Walton, with my First Amendment case, he sided with the government and said this case cannot proceed in court because everything about this case is considered state secrets without any justification because the White House says so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing they did with my Freedom of Information Act claim. They said they could not release any of the documents requested because all these documents were considered top secret and covered by the state secret privilege. So this ends up being the final, the only claim I have left in court that they have not invoked the state secret privilege in, and this is why we are trying to get this and put it in front of a judge that would look into this case and can be considered, you know, impartial and objective, which is not the case here with Judge Reggie Walton, as you can see.
And your prior litigation, at least one of the cases, rose all the way to the Supreme Court, which declined to review it.
Correct, because as you know, the administration has been getting away with these privileges for the past 4 years. Since 9/11, anytime they want to prevent any information being disclosed, all they do is they go and they waive these privileges and say it's top secret, it is state secret privilege, or it's the executive privilege. And unfortunately, our courts have not maintained their independence, at least with our federal courts. Either they are very intimidated, Or maybe their impartiality has to be questioned here.
Well, and Sibel, we're going to take a break. As we continue, I want to get your take on the NSA spying program, which is a brazen, consistent, law-violating effort by the Bush administration for which they brag about it. They don't even apologize. And the Democrats have, for the most part, caved on it. When we see the problems that you have had and the way the courts have just slammed the door on you, and you tie that together with the illegal NSA spying program, we have a picture of a creeping police state here in the United States of America. Sibel Edmonds is my guest, and we'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet real estate guru David Jordan. David will share his ideas and themes on how you in this changing real estate market can make the most, whether you're a buyer or a seller of a home. For more information, go to David's website at www.mypropertyprofile.net or call him at 408-315-9002. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on your number one choice for real estate, Rock Roller Real Estate.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Please join me for an incredible hour of great talk radio. You call and we'll talk about any issue you can imagine. Dating, marriage, kids, divorce, dating after divorce, addictions, Monterey politics, and a lot more. You know, just day-to-day stuff. We'll have so much fun Saturday evening, 6 to 7. Day to Day with Sheila Gale right here on Progressive Talk Radio, KRXA 540 AM.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. I'm on vacation next week, so Patrick Morrow and Matt Renner and maybe even Brad Friedman will be sitting in for me. We continue our conversation with whistleblower and great American Sybil Edmonds. She joins us from Washington this afternoon. And Dave joins us from Humboldt County, Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. And Sybil, I am a big admirer of yours. And I want to try to share something with you that will hopefully clarify something for all of us here. I understand that you have been exposed to some of the works of writings of David Ray Griffin, professor of the New Pearl Harbor. And those of us here that have been studying that book, along with Inside Job and Alex Jones and some of the others, and for us, the conclusion that we've been forced to reach that's unescapable is that our White House was up to their neck in what happened on 9/11, that they had planned for their New Pearl Harbor and then set out to bring it about. So if that's true, what I'm saying, the last thing in the world that this administration would want is an honest, competent translator in there going through the actual facts of this matter. They would want incompetent people who either couldn't read the language or if they translated it, they would play ball with the administration and not expose it. You are somebody that will say what you've got, and you're too high a risk. That's why they're going through all this craziness with you. I hope I'm making sense, and I would like your thought on it.
Okay. The pattern with the administration after 9/11, we know there are so many theories out there, but if we only stick with the facts, the confirmed facts alone, you know, when the administration during the 9/11 commission hearings, they kept coming out and saying we had no specific information. Just start with that and say, just look at the confirmed facts. We had the Iranian informant with the FBI in April 2001 providing very specific information. This was even confirmed by Director Mueller. And there's a Chicago Tribune article on this that came out in July 2004. Then you had the Phoenix memo and the FBI whistleblower who wrote these memos and issued all the specific warnings to the FBI headquarters. You have Colleen Rowley's case. I mean, you look at all these established facts, and then after 9/11, you have an administration that stands there and straight face, they tell you, well, we had no specific information. Then they go out of their ways trying to cover up any of this information, documents. We have these 28 pages of still classified congressional papers that after the inquiry by the Senate, joint Senate and House intelligence inquiry into 9/11 got to be classified, and they are not releasing that information. To say, why are they going out of their ways to block information? And why are they going out of their ways to gag whistleblowers? And these are the questions that need to be, answered.
And Sybil,
they need to come and justify that.
Sybil, I would add to that the recent riveting and incredible testimony from FBI agent Harry Samet in the sentencing hearings for Moussaoui there in Alexandria, Virginia. And he said that he believed that there was criminal negligence on the part of his superiors at the FBI who failed to listen to the reports coming from Minneapolis.
Absolutely, Peter. And I was having this conversation a few days ago with some of the 9/11 family members. I kept telling them, don't you see the pattern? I mean, if you go from these courageous whistleblowers from the FAA before 9/11, then you have all these FBI agents, you have whistleblowers from the CIA. There was so much information out there, and to this date, 4 years after September 11, we haven't seen any accountability. They are going about classifying documents, gagging whistleblowers, and not accepting any responsibility, which would lead to the questions that your listener just asked, saying why are they going to such a length to cover up information related to 9/11?
Yeah.
And that is the question that all of us have.
Dave, thank you for the call today.
It's obvious a big one, big thing they have to cover up.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks again, Dave. Let me turn now to the NSA spying program because, as I mentioned before the break, Sybil Edmonds, when we connect the dots, and we see how they have treated you and the incredible lengths that they have gone to, even things that, like you said, that don't make sense, to classify documents that have been in the public domain. I mean, that does not make any sense. The activities and the way that Judge Walton has treated your issues just shows a kind of gross incompetence or an intentional effort to deny you of your rights. And then we look at this NSA spying program, which the administration, appears to make no apology for, even though it is clearly in violation of the law, and the FISA law is very clear. So there is a pattern here of abuse of power and ignoring both the law and the rights of citizens like you.
Absolutely, Peter. We have five national security whistleblowers from NSA. And two of these individuals have been very outspoken on this issue. In fact, one of them, Russell Tice, went out of his way. He tried so hard to get the attention of the Congress to this issue, and finally he gave up and he went to the media. So now they come and they accuse these people of being traitors or they are leakers. Look, the only reason right now the country is engaged in this discussion, saying this is outrageous, our Fourth Amendment right is being butchered here by this administration, is because some courageous people took it upon themselves to go there and bring it to the public's attention. Or you and I wouldn't have had this conversation right now, Peter.
Yeah.
We owe it to these people who put their duty to Constitution above everything else and their own careers. Now they are saying, well, why are they going to the media? Why aren't they going to the Congress? And my answer to these people is this. Congress had known about this and had been sitting on it. And if it didn't come out through the media, again, we wouldn't have heard it because our Congress has abdicated its responsibility. And it's not fulfilling what they are supposed to be doing for the country. And now that the Congress knows, how many people are out there fighting? I mean, I can name one individual, Senator Feingold in the Senate. And did you watch the hearing today?
No, I've been unplugged today. I'll get to catch up on it this evening. Give us a quick summation.
But here you have one courageous senator among all the people out of 100 standing up and say, this is not what our country is about. And you have the administration saying, no, the president has the inherent authority to do this. Are we talking about monarchy or are we talking about the United States of America? Are we talking about our Bill of Rights being irrelevant? I mean, think about it. When they came up with our Bill of Rights, our founding fathers, they didn't say these laws that we are putting in place for our country are circumstantial. So if you have a terror threat or if you have a war, you're just going to put them all on the side and say, you know what, they are irrelevant today. That's when they prove their powers. And here you have an administration that is standing there and says, you know, there is a boogeyman out there. There will be always boogeymen out there. And therefore, you have to give up your rights. We have to give up our rights. And but the positive thing, I know all these things are sounding so pessimistic here, but the positive thing is people are getting fed up, and I'm seeing this, Peter.
Yeah.
I'm really seeing this. They had callers at the end of the hearing session on C-SPAN, and they were Republicans actually calling, and they were outraged, and they said that they supported Feingold's position on this. Now, to me, that gives hope.
Yeah. Well, Sibel, thank you very much for continuing to fight. Thank you for having the courage to speak out and speak with us despite unknown consequences. I want to congratulate you on the award that you've been notified about. Penn Newman's own First Amendment Award, a $20,000 prize that will be presented to you in April. You deserve much more.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And I want to thank you for doing what you are doing because of the sorry state of our media today. We really depend on people like you to keep us informed. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I consider it my duty. I want to direct people to nswbc.org. That's the whistleblower site, nswbc.org. And Sibel Edmonds has a site at justacitizen.com. We'll talk again and keep fighting, Sibel.
Thank you very much, Peter. Anytime.
Okay, and every time I talk to Sibel Edmonds, it makes me proud to be an American.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of all the good things we've done. The
This is Frank Don. Beginning Sunday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss the astrology of personalities, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Learn how astrology can help you make better life choices. For more about me, visit frankdon.com. Join in every Sunday beginning April 2nd at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Watergate figure John Dean calls for censure of the president.
Dean said President Bush is even worse than Nixon was in abusing power.
A threat of a strike in the U.S. auto industry.
If a strike goes beyond more than 2 weeks, this whole industry, domestic auto industry, collapses like a house of cards.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee considered a call to censure President Bush for domestic eavesdropping. And during the hearing, the president got a blast from the past.
The shadow of Watergate hung over the hearing with the appearance of former Nixon aide John Dean, joined in favoring censure by constitutional scholar Bruce Fine, arguing President Bush not only violated the law with warrantless wiretaps, but tried to hide it.
His hope was to escape political legal accountability forever.
But another former Justice Department lawyer, Lee Casey, disagreed.
To censure the president because his view is inconsistent with that of one or more members of the Senate would be improvident and irresponsible.
It's also extremely unlikely to happen because while the proposal by Democrat Russ Feingold led to this hearing, it's not likely to lead anywhere else. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president was focused on trade, immigration, and border security as he wrapped up a summit in Cancun with the leaders of Mexico and Canada. He said it's important to enforce laws protecting borders.
The whole vision of our borders has got to be to enhance trade and tourism, but to prevent smugglers and terrorists and dope runners from polluting our countries.
He likened the congressional debate over immigration to watching sausage being made. Now this.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore leg. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
I mean... Can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
If there's anything the American auto industry doesn't need right now, it's a strike. But that became a possibility today when parts supplier Delphi, as part of a major restructuring, asked a federal judge to void its labor agreements. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ reports.
It'll take 2 months or more for the bankruptcy court to decide on Delphi's request to have its labor contracts thrown out. Time enough, the company says, to work out a voluntary agreement. The auto workers union says there's nothing to talk about.
This makes the strike, or the threat of a strike, that much more of a reality. That's a problem.
Global Insight analyst George Magliano hopes for cooler heads to prevail. Delphi also wants to cut its white-collar workforce by 25%. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Closing 21 of Delphi's 29 U.S. plants is also in the cards. This man works for Delphi in Saginaw, Michigan.
It is a difficult day. A lot of people don't understand what we're going through here. It's tough. 29 years here, and you know, it's just my way of life. Now it's going to be gone.
A federal judge in Detroit has approved the agreement between General Motors and the UAW that requires retired union members to pay more for their health care. Air traffic controllers and the FAA have been in contract talks for years. Today, the union declared them over but did not threaten a strike. When controllers walked 25 years ago, President Reagan fired them. A former top aide to Congressman Tom DeLay has struck a plea bargain with federal prosecutors in the Washington influence peddling scandal. Tony Rudy admits that while he was DeLay's deputy chief of staff, he conspired with lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Rudy promises to cooperate with the continuing investigation. That's ominous for DeLay, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The defense here in and out of court obviously will be to say that just because the congressman's aides may have stepped over the line, it doesn't mean that the congressman did, that there should be no guilt by association. What prosecutors obviously are hoping for is that this aide can help them get more information about DeLay himself.
DeLay's lawyer says the congressman was totally unaware of Rudy's activities. A source close to the investigation tells CBS News that the Justice Department is clearly moving up the food chain to try and get to DeLay. Daylight savings time begins this weekend. We set our clocks ahead 1 hour. Next year, daylight time begins the second Sunday in March as an energy conservation measure. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This Friday night, before the buzzer sounds on CompUSA's NCAA March Madness Anniversary Sale, join us for some Midnight Madness. From 6 to midnight, you'll get amazing deals store-wide, like a Toshiba L25 satellite notebook with a Celeron M processor for under $500, or a MacStore 250-gig internal hard drive for just $69.99. This Friday night till midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offers after savings and rebates. See store for details. CompUSA is a proud official corporate partner of the NCAA.
Dear John Deere, I just love my new John Deere 100 Series riding mower. I was positively thrilled when I felt the added performance of that exclusive John Deere engine powered by Briggs & Stratton. And when I saw how great my lawn looked, I got so excited I mowed every lawn on the block. And now we just have to figure out who wins the Yard of the Month award. All the best, Hank.
Find a retailer near you or check out the new 100 Series at JohnDeere.com today.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show live up and down the left coast, 6 minutes after the hour. Joe Foreman is at the controls today. Thanks, Joe. Don't drive off the road. And before I introduce our guest this hour, I want to give you out the phone number because you're welcome to participate at any time you're moved to do so. Central Coast lines are open. It's a local call at 831-899-5792, 899-KRXA. Eureka or elsewhere, call me toll-free at 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. And I do want to mention a couple of times today, just so you're not shocked and you don't think that, oh, the NSA or Homeland Security did something awful to Mr. Collins. But I'm off next week on a little vacation trip to the East Coast. Going to spend some time in New York and Providence, Rhode Island. And it was 75 degrees and sunny in New York today. I just hope that holds. And also, usually once a day, we like to acknowledge that while we do not have any proof, we expect that every minute of the Peter B. Collins Show is monitored by the National Security Agency. And I imagine a guy named Benny, who's in a little cubicle somewhere in the woods in Virginia, and he's got his earbuds in, listening carefully to every word we utter. That's why I like to play this little noise, just to make his eardrums go crazy. Thanks, Benny. You're a great American, too. Scott Dick was in the Army and the Marines and is retired now, and he joins us almost every week to offer us insights in military and veterans issues. And for KRXA Monterey listeners, he's also the host with the Great Taste Buds, the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3. That's a totally different part of his personality, and Scott didn't bring that with him today. So we're not tasting any great foods or wines, but we're going to talk about military issues. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Not bad. I know you wanted to start out today with an issue that we discussed earlier in the week with the folks from Media Matters for America. And it is, of course, a response to the complaints that came out of surrogates of the Bush administration last week that the media is simply not doing its job. It's not covering the good news that's occurring in Iraq. And I'd like to pause and just pat myself on the back here because yesterday we broke with our standards here and reported the good news from Iraq that Jill Carroll, the hostage and journalist, had been released. So I'd like at least one point on the scoreboard there in Rove's office that when good news happens in Iraq, we're not shy about reporting it. But Lara Logan, who is a CBS News correspondent in Baghdad, offered some powerful testimony that we played on the program earlier this week on Monday, and I know you've heard her comments as well. What is your take on the way the Bush administration is trying to blame the media for its coverage of Iraq, saying that, you know, they're not bringing in the good news?
Well, media management has been an important function of military operations since Vietnam, and I saw that really come to fruition. I hate that expression, by the way, Peter, sorry.
Fruition?
Yes, it really come to the...
I don't mind fruition, it's nuclear, I hate.
Yeah, I'm working on that too. When we actually had CNN in our command operations center going 24 hours a day, and on the left-hand side was our mission, things that we needed to accomplish, and one of them was to handle the media. And when our first big group of VIPs came to visit, General Nash had us take that off the board. It's incumbent upon commanders to shape the battlefield. I don't believe it's incumbent on commanders to shape the information that comes off the battlefield. And as we know, we don't have to tell the enemy our secrets that endanger our troops. During World War II, we suppressed accidents and injuries and explosions that resulted in soldiers dying and probably for a good reason. Mm-hmm. But now it's 2006. And a lot of generals I just read and civilians still believe that it was the liberal media that doomed Vietnam. And I read an article, a letter to the editor, a couple of weeks ago where a person wrote just that. It wasn't that Rumsfeld. It wasn't that Westmoreland and Johnson were lying to the American people, saying that the insurgency was on its last legs, and then the Tet Offensive proved that they were a capable conventional fighting force, and that was really brought the chickens came home to roost. That was the party, because he was writing about how the Tet Offensive and Wei, the Battle of Wei, was a stunning military success for the U.S. and how it ended in destroyed our chances in Vietnam because of the liberal media.
Well, and I would just add here parenthetically that I think the draft was much more of a factor in Americans' disaffection for the war in Vietnam than media coverage was.
Right, and so, true. And now we have the people, we have people standing up in front of the American public and saying, making outrageous claims. And let me play one for you. Mm-hmm. This is sort of what started this, and I'm not sure that these folks weren't Republican plants.
Oh, well, I don't know it for a fact, but I firmly believe they were. These are the husband and wife who appeared in Wheeling, West Virginia at the presidential, wasn't a town hall meeting, it was a connection with the troops, I guess.
It was a PR stunt,
right?
Basically.
And that very night, the couple popped up on Chris Matthews' Hardball show, and he was in uniform.
Right. You know, I think if a soldier had done that, was in uniform, well, Pete, let's get into that in just a second. Let's mm-hmm. play this first. It's 28 seconds long, and I just want people to understand what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
My husband, who has returned from a 13-month tour in Tikrit, his job while serving was as a broadcast journalist, and he has brought back several DVDs full of wonderful footage of reconstruction, of medical things going on. And I ask you this from the bottom of my heart for a solution to this, because it seems that our major media networks don't want to portray the good. They just want to focus.
Now, Peter, before we get into this, I want to play track number two.
Go ahead.
Or they just want to focus on how they don't agree with you and what you're doing, when they don't even probably know how you're doing what you're doing anyway. But
well, to answer a question, I don't know what he's doing either, and I don't believe he really knows what he's doing.
He's got a strategy for victory.
But it's stay the course, which is not a strategy. So let's go back to this. First of all, the warrant officer was not a broadcast journalist. There is no such thing in the military MOS, military occupational specialty system.
And tell us their names, the husband and wife.
That's Kent and Gail Taylor.
Thank you.
And he's a reservist, and he's part of a public affairs detachment. And they call him broadcast journalist as a way, I believe, of selling a job to kids that want to leave there. I mean, Andy Rooney was a print journalist during mm-hmm. World War II, for example. Right. So you can take it and turn it into a real career. But in this guy's case, he's a public affairs detachment, probably detachment commander, and their job is to support the military mission. So I would have to ask him, if I was on the report, that one of the reporters on a panel, for example, I would ask him a couple of questions. He wrote, he did 40 reports, by the way. That's on the DVD that they want everybody to see. I want to know if he ever covered any kind of troop misconduct of any type. I wonder if he covered any commanders who were relieved of command for incompetence. I wonder if he ever reported on the pregnancy rate of deployed soldiers, because that's a free ticket home, still in 2006. I wonder if he ever reported on any friendly fire incidents and or with the private security contractors amongst our own, you know, troops. I wonder if he ever reported on the number of soldiers that went AWOL when they're on R&R, emergency leave. So he's accusing American media of not covering the good, and that's all public affairs detachments do.
And, Scott, when Kent and Gail Taylor that same night appeared on the Hardball show, Chris Matthews on MSNBC, he was remarkably open about what his job was in Iraq. And it was, as I heard him describe it, I thought of the minders of the Iraqi Information Ministry. And given the security conditions these days, reporters are loath to go out. I mean, that's how Jill Carroll got kidnapped. She went out without an escort. And so it's easier for them to manage reporters and to steer them to the stories they want to cover than it was even, you know, a couple of years ago when things were less structured and security was not as bad for reporters in Iraq. But he was very honest about how essentially he fashioned propaganda and led reporters to it.
Well, of course, a reporter's going to go where the security, number one. I mean, there's been something like 45 journalists killed in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and it's incumbent upon the military to provide security for themselves, and it's really optional if the military provides security for journalists and aid workers. But let's get into their statements, because they don't always play out, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, go ahead.
If the American people could see it, there would never be another negative word about this conflict.
Well, I appreciate that. No, it's
go ahead, track four, too, Joe. Let's listen to that.
Actually, he was deployed as a broadcast journalist, and it was his job to go out and get the stories of the things that was going on around the country. And the things that I saw him bringing back were the reconstruction projects, the new schools that were being built, the new hospitals that were being built, the new bridges and roadways that were being built, things to help sustain the...
So, Peter, there was an interview they did on ABC, and the reporter said, in all fairness, we have journalists out there covering news, not happy news or feel-good stories. And yet we tried to take the track that there are some good things and interesting things happening in Iraq that don't include car bombings and mass murders and that kind of thing. So let's hear track five, Joe.
A positive story about a sitcom that was happening in Iraq. And while he's out there, what we see on camera is the staff, the characters and the cast of the show being informed that the executive producer of their show was assassinated that morning. I mean,
so how do you make happy talk out of that? And when you look at the actual reconstruction that she just tried to make a positive out of, it's a big negative. You know, the power grid is not back to where it was pre-war. Water supplies, basic security, schools, all of those are well behind what was projected. And so what she's talking about is spin, not any kind of real journalism. We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick and talk more about management of the media and the way the Bush administration is using Kent and Gail Taylor to try to rein in America's media and lead them to cover more positive news from Iraq. If you have a question or comment, join us. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Call me toll-free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet real estate guru David Jordan. David will share his ideas and themes on how you in this changing real estate market can make the most, whether you're a buyer or a seller of a home. For more information, go to David's website at www.mypropertyprofile.net or call him at 408-315-9002. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on your number one choice for real estate, Rock Rollin' Real Estate.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets radio network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
When I get off the phone, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble when we get off the phone. It's 421 now. Amy Knight's in deep, deep doo-doo over there at Metro Traffic. She's going to discipline somebody, but first, she's going to help you get through the Friday commute.
Yes, and in Carmel, that's where everyone's in trouble this afternoon. Carmel Valley Road at Highway 1. You'll find an accident there with Highway Patrol on scene taking a report. So expect delays there on Carmel Valley Road. Not far away, Carpenter Street at Highway 1. A three-car crash off to the right-hand shoulder, and High Meadow Drive at Via Miramonte and Carmel, a pickup truck involved in an accident. CHP on the way once they finish up with these other two accidents. In Soquel, Porter Street at Soquel Drive, a solo car struck a phone pole, a tow truck on scene clearing that, and no new problems to report on Highway 17. Think only vampires get things accomplished at night? Well, you're wrong. Earn a BBA in intense evening courses at National University.
Do it.
22 minutes past the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Scott Digg is with us, our military and veterans affairs consultant and contributor on the program. And we're talking about these issues, the way that the Bush administration has blamed the media for the negative perceptions that people have of the scenes in Iraq, and the way that uniformed military like Kent Taylor and his wife, Gail, have been apparently willing collaborators with the Rove Bush message machine. And they surfaced almost everywhere on television last week to try to tell this story about how poor a job the media has been doing. And it has been amazing, Scott, to see the way the media has sat still for that. With the exception of Helen Thomas, they seem to be intimidated by Bush and by the way this particular initiative is being used.
One of the things that bothers me, Peter, is that nobody has said, oh, by the way, those schools that we are rebuilding were destroyed when and by whom?
Right.
The hospitals that we're rebuilding were destroyed by When and by whom?
I think it was, and this is a tasteless comment, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was a bunch of people who destroyed those buildings and then climbed into the mass graves.
Well, and the bridges too. So they must, you know, we have to take responsibility for what the Department of Defense calls collateral damage. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's such a happy story unless, as part of that DVD with the 40 reports that he did, he had some information about how that bridge, how the hospital, how the school was destroyed. And the nonsense that you hear where somebody says, the light in that child's eyes when he received shoes for the first time in his life is a crock. Because if you look at some of the pictures of the soldiers in Iraq, they're on sleeping on people's beds, and there's a LCD TV next to it. Mm-hmm. It's not their bed, it's the Iraqi bed. I loved that picture a couple months ago of one of the imams in Iraq, and he was in his office, and there was like a 32-inch plasma screen TV on his desk. So this is not the society that Americans think it is, where we're giving that child his first pair of shoes. Right. Maybe this is the first pair of shoes since his house was destroyed with all of his stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So let's go to you can email Peter. The next clip.
Yeah, let's get Joe's attention there. Ask Joe to put the phone down.
It's okay. Good. Let's go.
My job as a cameraman, as a reporter, was secondary to being a soldier. And
okay, so they didn't pick up on that. My job was over there as a reporter was secondary to being a soldier. And he was not a reporter. He was a public affairs dude. Mm-hmm. In a public affairs detachment owned and operated by the public affairs officer in that command. That's the way the command structure is, unless somebody changed it and put him under the brigade commander, which I doubt.
Now, this idea that Gail Taylor describes her husband as a broadcast journalist, I mean, that's very confusing to people because the military is not actually conducting any journalism that Americans see. We know that the Pentagon, through the Lincoln Group, has been commissioning people to write favorable stories and insert them into Iraqi newspapers without disclosing or attributing that content to its source.
Right. Well, now, there is an outlet for their reports, and that's why they call them broadcast journalists and reporters. And that is the Armed Forces Network, Radio and Television Network, that is based, the AFN is based in Frankfurt, and they do the feed, and they feed it back to the troops in Iraq, in Bosnia, wherever. They divided it Pacific and European. And so when a guy goes out and does a feel-good story about the troops working hard and rebuilding a school, it gets fed into the AFRT system, and it's shown all over the world, including the Pentagon channel. But it's just more of the same, feeding the same people that are feeding the commander, the brigade commander who has the civil affairs guys, who says, can't somebody cover this thing where we're handing out teddy bears at this school? And so the PAO guys, the PAD, goes out and covers it. They feed it back into AFRTS, and that's one of those feel-good stories. So it's a closed loop.
But is there any real journalism that gets broadcast on those Armed Forces networks and the Pentagon Channel, or is it more like the Disney Channel where, you know, it doesn't matter if it's connected to reality or not?
Troops are smarter than that, so they know they have to walk a fine line between Disney happy stories and stuff that actually happens. And what they'll do is they'll take some feeds from CNN and some of the other networks and play those. If something derogatory comes out, like the general who was relieved of command and sentenced to 8 years, I'm sure they covered that as a warning to people not to sexually assault their troops. Even though as a full-board colonel, they played it. Probably 10 years ago, they never would have played it. I don't know for sure that they even did play it, but it hit the papers. Yeah. So they can't hide from real news, but they'll tone it down, and they won't feed some of the more egregious and not anti-military, but stuff that doesn't make the military look that great. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to I think the real reason that she wanted to get this DVD out in front of the news, besides being a plant by the Republicans. Hit it.
The people are afraid. My wife was terrified when she watched the news, because if I would tell her something, not to watch the news because something happened, I didn't want her to get the bad news first before I had a chance to explain. Yeah, there were some incoming rockets that came by.
So I think, Peter, we don't have active listeners, even in the news media, who I would have immediately, if I was sitting in that chair, keyed on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what's driving the anger that you heard her express to the president, why the media plays everything bad, because our families that support what President Bush is doing in Iraq don't want any kind of divergent information that this is a noble cause, that this is going to be worth it, that the troops haven't died in vain or been maimed in vain, and they don't want anything that's going to impinge on that attitude,
right,
because it
and
makes
Scott,
them uncomfortable.
America's corporate media has already sanitized its coverage to a major degree. Just compare it to Al Jazeera, and you'll see the difference. We got to take a break. We'll return with Scott Dick. Your phone calls are welcome. Toll free at 888-579-2540. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Nissan Armada 4x4, a massive SUV about the size of Toyota's Land Cruiser, as I call it. The Armada's huge power plant is a 5.6-liter fuel-injected 8-cylinder engine delivered through a smooth 5-speed automatic. With full-time 4-wheel drive, the Armada passed our grueling hill climb test with ease. Inside, the Armada seats 7 in comfort, with a full array of accessories and power toys, including power sunroof, rear lift gate, backup alarm, Bose sound system with satellite radio, and DVD system with wireless headphones for the kids. If you need to move a small army and don't care about gas mileage, test drive the Armada before you buy a Suburban or Expedition. By the numbers, the Nissan Armada 4x4 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $44,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and that means you're stuck with me, Peter B. A little musical interlude from the Steve Miller Band with my buddy Norton Buffalo on the harp. Coming up next hour, our weekly visit with Assemblyman John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz. He'll be giving us his view on Prop 82, which you'll face on the June ballot. Rob Reiner's idea to provide preschool for all here in California. And Brad Friedman, as usual, at 5:20 for the remainder of the hour. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com, and he'll update us on a number of election-related issues, including a potential election fraud case against our favorite punching bag, that blonde bimbo Ann Coulter. Brad's got the details coming up just after 5 o'clock here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And, Scott, are we finished with Kent and Gail Taylor, or did you have another remark or two about them and the propaganda efforts?
I have just two more short clips, and let's go ahead and play track 8.
My husband was actually deployed as a reporter, and so why aren't more of the footage coming from the field, coming from Iraq, from our soldiers being shown? Because they're there, they live it 24/7 for a year at a time, and so that's.
So she wants to know why the mainstream media doesn't put public affairs detachment work on the TV and radio as truth. Because it's handcrafted. You know, I love handcrafted products.
Right, beers.
Beers, wine, bread. And this stuff is handcrafted. I've seen them work late at night and work it and work it and work it till it sounds right. It's got the right tone. It's got the right timbre. It's not exactly propaganda, but it's not something that we want to bash our troops over the head with.
To use a food metaphor, you know the difference between real cheese and cheese product. Right?
Correct.
Well, this is the difference between news and news product.
One of my favorite sayings is, why would anybody want to eat something called Cheese Whiz?
Yeah.
So this is like News Whiz.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And then the best one that I don't believe anybody picked up on, maybe they did, they just didn't have any comment, but I have comments for it. Hit it.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, or I had mentioned to my wife many times, is we're residents of Columbus, Ohio, and I wanted to let her know that she was in more physical danger driving around Columbus during bad weather than oftentimes I was. And I'm not going to...
Yeah, where was he? In Saddam's cell?
He's a nut for saying that. Why are we paying complete tax-free pay? Why are they getting these special bonuses for combat power? Because everybody who's there gets this, not the troops to go out and do the really ugly, dangerous work. So every strap hanger and public affairs weenie and logistician who never leaves the green zone, they all get all of these benefits. The generals, and I said before, you know, it's a bad habit when these colonels and generals fly in at the last day of 1 month. They mm-hmm. stay overnight or 2 days, and they get the 2 months, the month they flew in, tax-free, and they get the month they flew out of tax-free.
Yeah.
It's kind of a racket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so go ahead, Peter.
No, you. I think you had one more clip, right?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right.
That pretty much summed up the truth about their whole... And I figured that it would come out if we listened to them long enough.
Yeah. And let me direct people. Norman Solomon is a media critic who is frequently on our program. And if you go to normansolomon.com or just Google his name, you will find a recent piece that he wrote. And it was interesting, Scott, because he didn't know the name of Kent and Gail Taylor. And he watched the event with the president from Wheeling, West Virginia, and wrote, I think, a very interesting analysis. Then when I told him that they had popped up, just happened to be scheduled on Hardball on MSNBC that night, we were able to connect those proverbial dots. And there you see the pattern of a spokesperson who has been planted in the media, and they're delivering the talking points of the White House. But it's not Bush or Cheney or Scott McClellan. It appears to be these freestanding individuals who just love their country.
Who's a reservist, who's not on active duty, who's improperly, I believe, wearing his uniform on television, and it's not, I don't think it's right. And not only that, but I'm no great lover of the American media. They've completely been complicit in the weapons of mass destruction nonsense of not holding Cheney, for example, accountable for his statements. You know, last year, we had the insurgents on their last legs.
Yeah, right. Last throws.
And he said, again, last week, on Meet the Press, I believe, that when questioned about Rosewater and 50,000 troops, he said, no, it's all fundamentally the same. It's true.
Yeah.
The guy's a fruitcake.
Well, they're in deep denial, and it's just their M.O. Why acknowledge the truth when it's unpleasant or, you know, won't aid your political agenda?
Now, what I'd like to do, Peter, if it's okay, transition over to something called 3CI.
All right. Let's take a call first.
Okay.
Peter B. in Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Show with Scott Dick.
Scott, I'm disappointed you didn't point out the good news. There was a photograph of one of the new bases they were opening north of Baghdad, and in large logo letters was Burger King. That's right. Not only are we paying our troops poorly, we're serving them garbage as well.
And we're paying, not only is the Burger King, but they also get Anthony's Pizza, which I believe only exists on military bases as a government contractor. And we're paying, you know, KBR big money to provide food service.
So explain that to me. How do you get that logo so obviously plastered over a public funded military base?
They have a contract. They started moving into not only Burger King, but Popeyes and some other fast food chains. They act as a concessionaire, and they've been moving into military bases since the late 80s. And it's always a big deal when places like Burger King open up in Bosnia. When it opened, we were all on our hands and knees because the food was so lame, and we'd been eating it for so long that it's institutional food. Remember, prisons, hospitals, and the military. They train people that provide the food. Nothing against these people. It's a hard job. But the food is the same every day. I mean, how many times can you eat Salisbury steak before you start to hate it or MREs? So they bring places, these concessionaires in. But these are not your normal fast food workers. These are people who work for the Army Exchange Service, and they come over. And we've had some AFES people, the people who run PXs, killed in Iraq. Running the PXs, you know, PXs, they can buy big screen TVs and DVD players and DVDs and magazines and Diet Coke and all that stuff. And most of that goes to the support troops and the service troops, not the combat troops. When the combat troops come in from the front bases, then it's a whole different story. Did that answer your question?
You know, that in a depressing way, it really does. That, you know, you're lumped in with hospitals and the rest of the institutional food, and that somebody just hasn't figured that out, that should be a part of it. My next point I'd like to bring out real quick is, once again, I see they have convicted a sergeant of, did you catch that one, the guy with the dog?
Correct.
And again, was I mistaken in noticing he wasn't wearing any brass?
Do you mean for unit brass or
rank? No, he's a non-commissioned officer, sergeant.
You saw a picture of him, and normally the moment that his sentence is handed down, they take his stripes off of him.
Right.
So he's worse than a civilian. He's a convicted felon, depending on what he got, if he got a special court-martial or general court-martial. And it was a court-martial, so this is going to have long-term implications for him that will follow him around for the rest of his life, unless he can get it amended later on.
Once again, we have the situation where the highest-ranking individual is Colonel Pappas, right, who has been sanctioned in any manner for the torture and abuse at Abu Ghraib and other locations.
Yeah, he took an $8,000 fine for that.
And, oh, jeez.
Yeah, and the thing is, I know him, and he's an honorable guy, so when he says his mission was confusing, he's a special, what they call a SAMS grad. That's a special military subjects, SMS, that is like the higher-ups, the uppity-ups at the Command and General Staff College. So for him to say that the order was confusing, whether he could use dogs or not, you know, there's a whole story. And I talked to Joe Galloway about this, and he said he's not talking. Well, of course, because he didn't want to go to a court-martial. I mean, he spent almost 30 years in uniform, and to just be thrown out on the street with no pension or anything, that's a pretty big blow. And he's going to, why would we ask him to fall on his sword when nobody else is even coming forward?
That is so wrong, Scott, for so many reasons. Again, I just, how much worse can it get off for the guys, you know, that are trying to carry out these bizarre orders?
Well, the problem is, it's their winks and nods. They're not orders.
Oh,
So when they get a wink and a nod, then you have to read your commander's mind. And a lot of times you can go back to your commander and say, is this what you want me to do, really? And they'll go, no, that's not what I want you to do. Of course not, because it's unethical. Well, in the meantime, somebody who doesn't have the fortitude to ask that question, then they'll do it, and the commander has very plausible, I never told them to do that. I never gave them an order to do that. But if you say, get information, I don't care how you do it, just don't kill the guy, then that's how it gets handed down. I'm not saying that's what they said, but you got a full-board colonel, military intelligence specialist, who's an SMS grad, and he doesn't know, he can't figure out the order, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Scott, somewhere there's a memo with somebody's actual name attached to it that okayed this. And again, I'm going to let it go with this. What a great job you do bringing it, again, to the public. And Peter B., what a great show. You deserve a lot more credit than you get for, you know, at least guiding us down the river we're being sold down. So thanks, guys.
Gosh, hang on to your raft, Peter. We're about to hit the whitewater.
Well, Peter, you're our paddle.
Okay. We'll continue in just a moment with Scott Dick. Thanks for the call, Peter. And if you'd like to join us, there's still time for you to chat with us. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
447 now, KRXA 540 checks your traffic. And did you know it's discipline day at Metro Traffic?
Yes, it is. It's definitely
better warn everybody.
If you don't be careful out on the roadway, Amy's going to scold you. And in fact, a lot of people aren't behaving themselves. A lot of new problems. Northbound 1 north of Fremont, we have reports of a two-car crash in the center divide. Holman Highway at Scenic Drive, a stalled car in the lanes, and we're getting reports of a jackknife big rig. Vine Hill Road at Highway 17, also flooding. South 17 at Bear Creek Road, it's in the right lane, so drive with caution. And an overturned car coming out of Morgan Hill into South San Jose, northbound 101, just north of Highway 85. It's in the middle lanes. One last problem, Highway 9, north of Bennett Street, a large hole in the roadway caused by the rain. Think only vampires get things accomplished at night? Well, you're wrong. Earn a BBA in intense evening courses at National University. Call 1-800-NAT-UNIV.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. And we continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And, Scott, what do you have for us next?
Well, something I want to call the 3CI. And in doctrine, I don't know if you're aware of it, Peter, but Rumsfeld has rewritten doctrine. Now, 3CI is Command, Control, Communications, and Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And now, under Rumsfeld and Bush, it's been changed. It's been changed to criminals, cronyism, corruption, and incompetence. And the incompetence part is the one I want to address specifically when it comes to the Secretary of Defense. Well, first, let me just go on a sidetrack. Somebody that I met tangentially a long time ago, his name is Ralph Zimmerman. He's a lieutenant colonel, retired. He wrote last week in an editorial that the reenlistment is a game of guilt spin, arm twisting, and the Gotti approach.
Mm.
He compared it to a brutal used car sales.
That's good for morale.
It is, because I think he nailed it. I've seen it, and what happens in reenlistment is first they appeal to your patriotism, your honor, and then they threaten you with sending you someplace that's not going to be very, like a unit that's getting ready to deploy to Iraq after you just redeployed. And what they're trying to do is fill their ranks by paying big bonuses and using strong arm tactics. And it's not good for troops. Eventually, when they get back into some kind of situation, it's not good for the folks around them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about recruitment scandals, and I believe that we're going to uncover a whole bunch more of those. And one of the examples he gave is for a kid who came to one of his commanders and said, I was promised I could work with computers by my recruiter, and I was made an armor tank crewman. Well, there's a computer in the turret of a tank.
I was going to say he could bring his laptop.
He uses the computer, and it's to select whether you want sabot rounds and then it puts the ballistic curve on the main gun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's him. The recruiter didn't lie, but yeah, that's not where the troop wanted to be.
And that's a transferable skill into civilian life, right?
It is if you live in Iraq.
Yeah.
And then this Major General Paul Eaton came out, and of course he's retired. Nobody on active duty is doing this. Nobody's resigned. We have generals taking the Fifth Amendment.
Right, Miller.
But he came out and said that in the 5 years that Rumsfeld has presided over the Pentagon, he's seen groupthink become dominant and a growing reluctance by experienced military men and civilians to challenge the notions of the senior leadership. He said that Peter Pace started out as sort of this, I'll support the troops and commanders, and then fall back into supporting Rumsfeld first. And he goes through a whole list of failures. Rumsfeld failed in terms of operations. He rejected the Powell Doctrine of overwhelming force and sent just enough tech-enhanced troops to complete what we called Phase 3 of the war, ground combat against the uniformed Iraqis. He ignored competent advisors like General Zanini. Later on in his article, he says, last, you don't expect a Secretary of Defense to be criticized for tactical ineptness. Normally, tactics are the domain of the soldier on the ground. But in this case, we all felt what L. Paul Bremer, the former viceroy in Iraq, has called the 8,000-mile screwdriver, reaching from the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So you have retired generals, a lot of them, not just Eaton. He's just the latest to retire who was actually working in Iraq under Rumsfeld. You have Galloway writing editorials that say that are headlined by Rumsfeld damage to U.S. military will take years to repair. Anybody who doesn't know Joe Galloway, he's been writing about military affairs since Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the book. He was co-author of the book with General Moore on We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Made a great movie, but the book was spectacular. And it's about troops in combat and good leadership, et cetera. And the media, they're really being embedded in with the troops because he didn't have to be there. And he talks about how Rumsfeld goes out and contracts for a study of the impact of Iraq and Afghanistan on the military, and then he rejects it. And the RAND Corporation, and he quotes this study, wrote, in this time of war, they concluded that without an increase in manpower, the Army simply cannot sustain the force levels needed to break the back of the insurgent movement in Iraq. And, of course, Rumsfeld rejected that. And this whole thing with the transformation of the Army, Peter, where they're making more combat brigades, what they're doing, and I didn't know this until it was pointed out by Galloway, because he drinks beer with Eric Senchecki. What they're doing is there's three combat battalions in the combat brigade. They're taking one of those combat battalions out and increasing the headquarters staff. So what they're going to have is really no net combat troops. So they're playing a shell game. They can appease the Congress by saying, look, we have all these combat brigades, but when you, instead of having three bullet launchers, trigger pullers on the ground, as they call them, boots on the ground, they're only going to have two. And the other ones are going to be in the green zone.
So we're going to have more management and fewer frontline workers.
And to be honest, there's going to be some more engineers out there and some cav troops and some, you know, combat engineers can be combat soldiers if they're taken out of their MMS, but I think we'd rather have them clearing IEDs and that kind of thing. There will be some more of combat service support, direct combat support troops, but the majority of troops being replaced, they're going to be headquarters to manage all this. And you know, the tail, the administrative tail is now 6-1.
Really?
In World War II, it was 3-1. Now it was in Vietnam, it was 5-1. Now it's 6-1.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's huge. And we're de-emphasizing the tank and de-emphasizing the Bradley and emphasizing up-arming Humvees. Why do we have Bradleys if it doesn't make any sense with it? We're developing this new truck called the Buffalo, which is supposed to stay in IED blasts, blah, blah. It's really expensive. Why don't we just send our tanks there? All these questions commanders ask, they ask for more troops. Rumsfeld lies and says, we give the troops and the commanders what they ask for.
Yeah, right.
It's a lie.
Now, Bush has repeatedly declined to accept a resignation from Rumsfeld. It seems that he has tried, and the president rebuffs him. But we heard as recently as last week that there would be no changes in the administration. And then, poof, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, Andy Card announced that he is resigning as chief of staff. Do you think that there's a prospect that Rumsfeld will be permitted to resign sometime in the near future? There certainly seems to be a lot of dissent about his work as a defense secretary.
I think eventually. However, Peter, would you want this job midstream?
Of course not.
I don't think anybody with a brain, and that's the whole problem, I don't think anybody with a brain is going to want to take this job over because they have so much to undo. It's not simply, it staggers the imagination how much work the next Secretary of Defense is going to have.
Yeah.
As far as manpower, as far as materiel, as far as money in the budget, troops on the ground. And then we get to this long-lasting effects. For example, mental health risk for troops. I'm reading reports that say as high as 31% of all soldiers and Marines returning from Iraq have sought help for mental health from a mental health clinic within a year.
31%. Wow.
And after decades of watching the Vietnam veterans suffer, you know, the Department of Defense and the VA are trying to get their heads wrapped around this, but it's not going to come soon enough, and it's going to be this hidden, it's like traumatic brain injury, it's going to be this hidden disease that's going to crop up in the strangest of places, and it's affecting thousands upon thousands, especially those kids, and I call them kids because they're 21, 22, 19, 23, that are on the third tour in Iraq.
Yeah.
And they haven't gone from being an infantry fighting soldier to handling paperwork in the brigade headquarters in the green line, green zone.
One indication of this is the high level of stress on marriages that many returning soldiers are getting a divorce like within a year of coming back from Iraq. Now, there are many different issues that can play into that, economics and, you know, a wife and kids left alone for several years. But it does appear that a lot of guys and some women are coming back with serious trauma.
Peter, the statistic is just heart-wrenching. I've been deployed, and when I married in 94, I was home 5 months out of 2 years. And none of that was combat. It was the Partnership for Peace exercises in the Czech and in Poland, and we went to Bosnia, and we had to train for that. So out of 2 years, I was home 5 months. And right now, troops returning home, in a couple of bases in the States, the divorce rate is 71%.
71%?
71%. And troops, you know, they got tax-free money while they were there. Now they're back. Now they have to sort out these issues. Now they're going to have dependent kids, and they're going to have to pay child support, and their commander's going to be chasing them down if they stay on active duty. And if they have mental health issues, they're going to get out because the military's not going to have them anymore. They're going to be homeless or mentally ill veterans who are not paying their child support. The divorce, it's just staggering. And, you know, this force isn't broken.
Yeah. Well, and I heard a debate the other day. A congressman from Texas was fighting the Republicans, and he lost, to try to forestall an $8 billion cut in funding for veterans in the forthcoming fiscal year that starts July 1. That's just one indication of the problems in Washington and the problems with our military. Scott, I want to thank you for joining us. Very interesting hour, and I appreciate your contributions.
Thanks. You're quite welcome, Peter.
And the Tasty Planet tomorrow, give us 10 seconds. What's going to be on?
I'm going to do something. We're going to talk corks and screw caps. There's a battle brewing over how we should close our wine bottles.
Okay. I'll join in. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Or at least I'll uncork or unscrew something. Thank you, Scott Dick. I'm
Pleasure.
Peter B. Collins. Assemblyman John Lair joins us next right here.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligano. The stakes are great.
If this negotiation breaks down, General Motors is facing bankruptcy.
Gene Jennings is editor of Automobile Magazine. As CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says auto supplier Delphi is trying to push to the edge without going over.
Delphi, the country's largest auto parts supplier, has asked the bankruptcy court to allow it to sell or close 21 of its 29 facilities, lay off up to 8,500 salaried workers, and to void its union contracts. If negotiations fail and they carry out on threats to strike, it would bring the auto industry to its knees.
Delphi workers are aware what's at stake.
It's not just us. This whole community around us is going to feel it. And it's getting tough.
Saying street gangs have become an increasingly deadly threat to Americans, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez today announced a federal effort to curb it. The story from KNX reporter Michael Linder in Los Angeles.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez pulls no punches when it comes to the danger posed by street gangs.
Gangs have become an increasingly deadly threat to the safety and security of our nation's citizens.
Six cities and regions will each receive $2.5 million to help combat street gang violence.
Los Angeles, Cleveland, Dallas-Fort Worth, Milwaukee, Tampa, and the 222 corridor near Philadelphia.
The program is aimed at preventing gang violence, enforcing laws, and helping gang members reenter society from prison. Michael Linder, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A Senate hearing today into whether to censure President Bush to warn him over his program of warrantless surveillance. It's a warning former White House counsel John Deed told the senators today could have saved the Nixon White House.
Had a censure resolution been issued about some of Nixon's conduct long before it erupted to the degree and the problem it came, it would have been a godsend.
Well, few think censure will really get traction. Rewriting the wiretap legislation to put the courts in solid control may. Even with the callers' voices edited out, the tapes of calls to 911 that fateful day in September were captivating. Alexander Santora's firefighter son died that day.
They were in a windowless building. They didn't know what was going on. The supervisors apparently didn't have much better information because it wasn't being passed along to the operators. And the operators were doing the best they could.
One World Trade Center.
All right, we have quite a few calls.
I know. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Freed American hostage Joe Carroll is expected to leave Iraq for Germany tomorrow. A freelance journalist spent today in seclusion as she recovers from 82 days of captivity. Wall Street closed out the first quarter of 2006 with strong gains, though today's session was marred by a downturn as investors worried that a strong economy could prompt more interest rate hikes. The Dow fell 41, the Nasdaq dropped 1. This is CBS News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Mmm, where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
This Friday night, before the buzzer sounds on CompUSA's NCAA March Madness Anniversary Sale, join us for some Midnight Madness. From 6 to midnight, you'll get amazing deals store-wide, like a Toshiba L25 satellite notebook with a Celeron M processor for under $500, or a MaxStor 250-gig internal hard drive for just $69.99. This Friday night till midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offers after savings and rebates. See store for details. CompUSA is a proud official corporate partner of the NCAA.
It doesn't appear the French student worker protests will be coming to an end anytime soon. CBS News correspondent Elaine Cobbs in Paris.
I have decided to sign the law. With those words, President Jacques Chirac dashed the hopes of hundreds of thousands of French students. He says the first job contract can be instrumental in reducing youth unemployment, and he did promise it will be modified to make it more palatable to young people and labor unions. But their initial reactions were of disappointment and anger, and they promised to continue their protests. Elaine Kolb, CBS News, Paris.
$250,000 reward's been set up for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible for the abduction and murder of Lacey and Connor Peterson. Yes, Scott Peterson, the husband, was convicted last year of the murder of his wife and unborn son, but it's not good enough for the family and friends. The reward they set up is also for information leading to Peterson's exoneration and release. Lou Maligano, CBS News.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore leg. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
I mean... Can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week about this time, we visit with Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat from Santa Cruz, Surf City, USA. And John Laird, I have some good news. Travelocity.com has once again listed the top 10 surfing destinations in the world, and Santa Cruz is listed among them.
Oh, that's great news. It's not anything that will come to a surprise as a surprise to anybody that's used to surfing, but it's good to get that recognition.
The blurb reads, Santa Cruz lives and breathes surf culture. For surfers with the right stuff, it's no trouble getting in on the action, whether it's waist-high at Cowles or overhead at Mitchell's Cove. In the past few years, Santa Cruz has seen a resurgence of longboard riding, so don't be afraid to bring the big gun. And remember a wetsuit.
That's for sure.
Are you a surfer?
I'm not, but I ride by there all the time and stop and look. And I have a bunch of friends that are involved in, there's the Wormhout Brothers surf at Mavericks every year. And
sure.
It's a great connection.
Yeah. I, for whatever reason, whatever it takes to surf, I don't have it. And I learned that the hard way after gulping gallons of Pacific Ocean water. John,
well,
before we get to
the wetsuit.
Before we get to our topic today, I just want to congratulate you. Last night you were named Legislator of the Year by the Children's Advocacy Institute in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I was really pleased. It was at a fundraiser for the court-appointed special advocates, which I'd loosely been involved with at the beginning, but I thought that's what it was about, and I showed up, and it was a statewide award and looking at people's records statewide, so I was really pleased and honored.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure you've earned it. Now, today I wanted to talk with you about Proposition 82, which so far I believe is the only ballot measure that voters will evaluate in the June primary election. And let me just offer a little personal disclosure. I am a beneficiary of Rob Reiner's work on Proposition 10. That's the tobacco tax that formed the state agency called First Five and the county agencies that distribute some of the money. And I produce two radio shows. One of them's called Childhood Matters that airs on KRXA Sunday mornings at 9. And those are in part funded by the Proposition 10 First Five tobacco tax money. So I just want people to understand that I have a little more knowledge and perhaps a little more vested interest in some of these issues than an average person. But I give Rob Reiner a lot of credit for the vision that he has provided about early childhood development and its importance to the future of every Californian. This year, he has qualified Proposition 82, which would provide universal preschool. He calls it preschool for all. And some of the critics say, well, what about rich people? Why do they need to have the state pay for preschool? I think that's a valid comment. There are also some social scientists who have looked at the long-term benefits of preschool, and it appears to be a mixed bag in terms of by the time you get to fifth or sixth grade, whether the preschool benefits really carry through in the long term. Those are a couple of the issues that I would raise. Tell me your take on this ballot measure, and do you support it, or are you still considering it?
I still haven't taken a position, and it's not because I don't support universal preschool. I think the benefits are clear, and I actually went and looked at universal preschool with the speaker in Sweden and in France last summer, and there were two epiphanies that hit me in looking at it, and one is in Sweden, where I really thought that it was a homogenous society. I was surprised to find out that of the 8.5 million people there, a million of them are foreign born, and many of them from Turkey or North Africa or places you wouldn't think are going to Sweden. And the that works there is that kids go into universal preschool, and by the time they hit the regular grade school, they're all proficient in Swedish, and you can't come from California and see that experience and not have the light go on, as we have so many kids across California that have a different first language than English, and many times the time they first have to deal with English in a solid way is coming into school, and we tend to evaluate people on how they handle English rather than totally their ability to learn and analyze and take in information, and universal preschool could deal with that in a very good way. In France, the good thing was is they did universal health screenings along with the preschool early, and there's some things that that are better caught before people are five years old, and here in California, that's when a lot of screenings are done, when kids go into kindergarten, and that was a real benefit. So I could see, in addition to the cognitive gains, why there are other advantages and advantages that would particularly be helpful in California.
Now, notably, the top Democrat in the state Senate initially supported this measure, Proposition 82, but Don Parada has decided not to, and his concerns seem to be primarily with the funding mechanism. Describe that for us and tell us your thoughts.
It basically would fund the upper, be funded through an increased tax on the upper income bracket of people paying income tax in California. And there are pros and cons. And the pro is that you just simply can't get a tax passed in the legislative process in California with the two-thirds. So any time you wish to do something like this, the voters have to do it. That's where First Five, we described earlier, came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the mental health program came from in 2004. And so you almost have to do it that way if the voters are ever going to approve anything. Conversely, 81% of the revenue to the state general fund comes from just two sources, income tax and sales tax, and it fluctuates wildly in the economy, and this doesn't do anything but add to that. And at the same time, we still have a budget that's out of whack by between $4 and $5 billion, and this is the one tax that is popular among voters, and both Ronald Reagan and Pete Wilson used to balance the budget during tough times in their gubernatorial administrations. And we could be in a position where we'd have a great preschool program, and then kids come to class sizes that are really big, and no health care that's universal, and we haven't uprighted the state budget, so kids that get services after they get out of preschool might be threatened. So there are pros and cons both ways to the funding mechanism.
Yeah. Now, there's been a recent flap, and as I explained, I've been involved with some of the programs funded by First Five. I've met Rob Reiner a couple of times. I respect him, and I like him. But it seems that he's kind of reverted to his meathead character from All in the Family, that he seemed to be a kind of deaf to the perception that the commercials that were run by First Five, TV spots worth about $23 million that ran in the late fall and ended in December, were promoting the concept, not the ballot measure, but the concept of universal preschool. And many people find that a conflict of interest on Rob Reiner's part. Your comment?
Well, I know what I've read completely in the newspapers, and there's an audit going on, and it sounds like he is legally on the right side, but on the appearance, it's very poor. And appearance is what politics is. And so I'm just hoping that it doesn't rub off on people think about universal preschool, because I think the concept itself is a very valid one and a very needed one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to his credit, Rob Reiner did resign as chair of First Five this week, and hopefully that will take the issue out of the electoral crossfire.
Well, it was also very interesting because before he resigned, Governor Schwarzenegger backed him and said he didn't ask for his resignation. And I thought that was very interesting because it was the Republicans in the legislature that were shooting at Reiner, and Schwarzenegger broke with them to back him. I guess acting is thicker than partisanship. And so...
Well, the other thing I would add, and I have no inside information here, John, Rob Reiner was polling as the top Democratic candidate for governor, and he decided not to run.
That's true. That's true. And I just think in the end, while the appearance is poor, I think it is he has stepped back, and unless there's some public agency that takes action, it just seems a clear shot to June solely on the issue of universal preschool.
Well, let's touch base on this again as we get closer to the primary and see if you've taken a more specific position. I understand it's complex, and I think it's important to study it, and I encourage our listeners to do the same.
That's great. I'll stay in touch with you on that.
Thank you very much, John Laird, and this is the official Cesar Chavez holiday here in California. Enjoy the rest of your day off.
Thank you.
Okay, good to talk with you. Coming up next, it's his Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hey, this is Paul Sanford with KRXA and the Election Radio Network. Heads up to you listeners. High Noon on April 1st is going to be the first in a series of debates. Coming up this weekend, we're doing the sheriff's race. We will have a live debate in studio. All three candidates have been invited so far. Two are confirmed. Tune in Saturday at noon on the Election Radio Network and KRXA to the great debate, the sheriff's race in Monterey County.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this Friday afternoon. It's 520, and here she is.
Wow,
the dominatrix. The disciplinarian at Metro Traffic. Go ahead, Amy.
Yes, the Monterey Bay really getting slammed with rain this afternoon. South 17 at Bear Creek Road, flooding in the right lane. Also, a jackknife big rig, Vine Hill Road at 17, has the roadway blocked. Several tree branches also pulling down phone lines onto the roadway as well. Highway Patrol is on scene. Also in Felton, Highway 9 at Felton Empire Road, watch out for a large hole and chunks of pavement in the roadway. Drive with caution there. In Hollister, Mitchell Road at Union Road, a big rig broken down, loaded with vegetables in the roadway, and a big rig tow truck is on the way there. Allergies will discover new Allivert citrus burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action, and you know relief is on the way. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's 5:21, and every Friday afternoon we welcome Brad Friedman to our program, the proprietor of bradblog.com and the man who's trying to defend our right to free and fair elections in this nation. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Peter. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well today.
I know. You are just minutes away from a week-long vacation, I understand.
That's right. I am going to run away for a week, and I do want people to know this so that they don't get really suspicious and think that Karl Rove had me... you know, executed or deported or something like that. I'm going to take a week off and go to the East Coast and see some relatives and visit my stepson at college and just relax a little bit.
Well, very good. You deserve it.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So you've been working hard. You were up in Santa Clara last weekend to give a talk and try to educate Democrats statewide on the issues related to fair elections and the dangers of electronic voting machines. How did that go?
It went very well, and, you know, it's no easy feat trying to educate Democrats. Frankly, if you looked at these censure hearings today where, and I just realized this, only two Democrats bothered to show up for that hearing. I hope you noticed. Feingold and Leahy. But anyway, I digress. It went very well. and got a lot of folks fired up and falling off their chairs saying, seriously, you must be kidding. What happened? And so we're you know, spreading the word, getting the news out there, which is not easy with so much going on, breaking every damn day in this particular story. As once again, we had one of those weeks where you couldn't even keep up, even if you did stop by the Brad blog every 15 minutes. It was hard.
Yeah. And with that, if you want to name names, fine, but that's not important to me. You described to me in a conversation the other day that there are key Democratic leaders who do not grasp the significance of these issues about voting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll avoid naming names for now because really it's not important. The fact of the matter is it's the National Democratic Party in general. And of course they stand to lose a lot more than everyone else in this case, even though I posted an article today to show that suddenly some of the folks on the right are suddenly getting worried about electronic voting now that they realize Hugo Chavez may own one of the may have some control over Sequoia voting systems. Now all of a sudden they're concerned about all of this influence via these electronic voting machines.
Now wait a minute, I thought Sequoia was a solid Republican company.
Well, it's been purchased by a Venezuelan company by the name of Smartmatic not long ago. And it's a fairly murky trail, but the Venezuelans down there who run this thing, it may be somewhat controlled by the state, by Hugo Chavez himself or his government. Yeah. And for some reason, the wing nuts are suddenly worried about electronic voting. Go figure.
Well, if that's what it takes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Bring it on, Hugo.
Know, what's that?
I say bring it on, Hugo.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, similar to this, you know, if that's what it takes down there in Texas, where a Supreme Court justice, a conservative Republican, is now challenging the election down there. If that's what it takes for folks to realize that this is not a right and left issue, but a right and wrong issue, then great, bring it on. And I'll be happy to support those Republicans who are realizing what is really at stake here, which is American democracy. And that's really the bottom line. That said, going back to the initial question, for the moment, it is Democrats who are being, by and large, affected by this all over the country. And the National Party simply doesn't seem to get it. And I did speak with someone about this at the at the CDC convention up there, an operative who is pretty high ranking, we would say, in the National Democratic Party. And, you know, one of the things he said to me is that, well, we don't talk about this much because, well, it's just not an issue that gets voters out.
Oh. Yeah.
And, I mean, I almost fell on the floor because is it just me, or does it seem that is completely beside the point? You know, this is not about getting the voters out. You know, and he said, "Oh well, we need to talk about health care and all of these things." And I thought, well, that's great. You can talk about them all you want, but you know, if these guys own the machines, doesn't matter what happens when you go in there. You know, if they can control the machines and you walk out of there with the 51-49 loss, and the media starts spinning it, you know, using Karl Rove's spin to say, well, when Americans finally got into the voting booth, once again, they must have been moved by Homeland Security or gay marriage or whatever other nonsense they wish to spin it with. And guess what? The American people are going to believe them because the mainstream media and the political parties haven't been talking about this for the last, you know, year and a half. Just, you know, knuckleheads like me.
Well, and Brad, I can imagine that cynical Democratic leaders would look at the schlubs that vote for them and say, well, you know, we don't want to disturb them because some people might feel discouraged from voting if they feel their votes don't count.
Well,
now, to me, I can offer it as a, you know, some kind of an argument, but I'll shoot it down immediately because if you make every voter in America, including every Democratic-leaning voter, whether they're registered or not as Democrats, you're going to activate and galvanize people and get them to pay attention to the process of voting so that they feel more confident that their vote actually did count.
Exactly right. It's the most twisted and tortured logic that they seem to be coming up with that just really, you know, makes my head spin. It's spinning too much to even comment. I think you hit it right, though. I mean, it's something that you have to educate the people about, get them fired up about, and if their answer to it is, well, it doesn't matter anyway, so I'm going to stay home, I don't know. It's twisted logic. It makes no sense.
Brad, we're going to take a break, and as we continue, we've got an update on Ann Coulter. Did she violate voting laws in Florida? Brad will give us the scoop on that. We're also going to talk about the AG in Florida backing up Ion Sancho in the Leon County that includes Tallahassee, the state capital. And we'll talk about the censure debate in the Senate today. I need to get more info because I haven't been plugged in and Brad has. So that's coming up next. Call us if you'd like to comment. 888-579-2540 on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, coming soon to Sacramento and Phoenix. We start in both of those cities on April 10th when I return from vacation. I am thrilled. We continue our debrief and download with his Bradness, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Hey, Brad.
Hey,
just
yeah.
While we were sitting through that incredibly long commercial break, I decided to open some of my mail here.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm doing tonight after the Bill Maher show. I'm going to pop this DVD in. It's called Street Fight, a film by Marshall Curry, and it's about a controversial election for mayor in Newark, New Jersey. And it says here, in Newark, elections are won and lost in the streets.
I have heard about that film. I have not seen it. Someone contacted me on it, and it was one of those things that I just couldn't get to. So, good. Let us know how that goes.
I sure will.
And by the way, congratulations on the new affiliates. I'm glad to hear this means we'll be reaching into Phoenix when you get back.
Yes, and that's pretty exciting stuff.
They like me in Arizona.
Yeah, well, we'll be down there in McCain country and see if we can open a few minds up.
Yeah, you'll be down there in Jan Brewer country. She's the Secretary of State out there that thinks election integrity advocates are, what did she say, conspiracy theorists and anarchists.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do some anarchy on the radio in Phoenix. There's a lot of good election integrity folks actually in Arizona, and they're having boatloads of trouble out there, so I'm sure we can help.
All right, great. Well, bring me up to speed on that, and we'll take those issues on for our new listeners in the Phoenix area. Let's take a call. We got Joe in Brookings, Oregon on the line. Hello, Joe. You're on the air with Peter B. and Brad.
Yeah, well, there's a major movie out there that does touch on the deal with these crooked voting machines. That's America from Freedom Fascism, done by Aaron Russo, and it's coming to San Francisco on April the 8th. My major comment...
Joe, tell me more about that.
Yeah, America from Freedom to Fascism, done by Aaron Russo, who used to be Bette Midler's manager, and he's done movies like The Rose and Trading Places, and he touches upon all kinds of issues on basically how we're losing our freedoms, and this basically is becoming a fascist country.
And hey,
thank you for pointing that out, Joe, because I believe I got an email from a publicist, and I just skipped over it because I didn't know what it was about. So I'll take another look at that, and thank you. Brad, go ahead. Your comment.
Let me jump in on that. I think you can see a preview for that at Freedom... freedomtofascism.com.
freedomtofascism.com, yeah.
Yeah, and one, in the clip there from the film, they actually show Clint Curtis, who you've had on as a guest, and I broke his story originally, the computer software programmer who was asked to rig the vote by Tom Feeney, and he's running for Congress now against Tom Feeney. His videotaped testimony to members of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee is actually in that preview, and therefore, I suspect, in the film itself.
Yeah. My main comment about the voting machines is, you know, why were the Democrats stupid enough to go along with this nonsense about electronic voting machines in the first place? Like, up in Canada, they just mark, like, a X or a check mark in a box or a square. They never have any problems counting the votes. We just have these kind of stupid problems here in the United States with these stupid computers.
Yeah, well, it was really pushed through, and they were stupid to allow it to be pushed through with money from guys like Diebold, and frankly, the Greenberg-Traurig, Jack Abramoff outfit seems to have had a hand in this. I don't know why they went, why they agreed to it, other than they were very naive, and this all happened, as you recall, in the wake of the 2000 election debacle. Mm-hmm. But as it's been pointed out to me, recently in this lawsuit filed against the Diebold machines out here in California. The problem really occurred, what kicked it off down there in Florida, was when a Diebold optical scan machine in Volusia had registered negative 16,000 votes for Al Gore, and that's what led Fox News eventually to call the race for Bush, and then they discovered the error. We'll call it an error. They discovered it, and Al Gore unconceded, and then we moved on to all the punch cards and the hanging chads and everything. So the Help America Vote Act of 2002 was in response to that mess in 2000. But as people think it had to do with the punch cards, the problem really started with Diebold electronic machines. So it's ironic, to say the least, that the response was to encourage more of them in a big way all around the country.
Well, minus 16,000 votes, I thought only Dick Cheney was that unpopular.
Yeah. Well, depends whose machines are counting, I guess.
Joe knows how to make an exit. Leave him laughing and head on up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brad, next let's take a look at the censure hearings or debate in Washington today. As I've confessed, I've been distracted by other matters and have not been able to watch any of the coverage. Tell us what you've seen, and then we've got this clip from Lindsey Graham, who, according to bradblog.com, may be the biggest ass of the day.
Yeah, indeed. I think he gets that award hands down from as far as I can tell. And here's a guy who, you know, seemed to be playing it straight, seemed to have concerns about this warrantless wiretapping on Americans on U.S. soil. But what he did today and the way he turned on John Dean, I mean, this guy is just seems schizophrenic to me, bipolar. If you have this clip of how he turned and attacked John Dean concerning what Nixon did or didn't do, which clearly I would think John Dean would probably be more of an expert than Lindsey Graham. Well, he displays it in this clip.
All right, let's listen. Go ahead, Joe.
These people really do believe the president has robust authority when it comes time to fighting a war. Now, Mr. Dean, this is a little bit different than Watergate. Did you ever believe there was a legal basis for the President of the United States to break into the Democratic National Headquarters?
No.
You knew you were committing a crime. That wasn't the debate, whether or not it was legal or not. You just chose to break the law.
I couldn't read the Commander-in-Chief Clause the way it's being read today.
That's different. That's different. You read it differently, but nobody read the Constitution to say that Richard Nixon and you could break into somebody's private office and steal.
I don't think when we talk about
Isn't
Watergate.
Isn't that different? Isn't there a big difference between knowingly breaking the law, burglarizing somebody's office, and having a real debate about where authority begins and ends?
Nixon didn't authorize the break-in.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. So did you authorize it?
No, I did not.
Did you know about it?
No, I did not.
Did he ever know about it?
After it happened.
Okay, so then he covered up a crime that he knew to be a crime, right?
Senator, it might be important for you to know that
Did he cover up a crime that he knew to be a crime?
Senator Graham, let him answer the question.
He covered it up for national security reasons.
Give me a break.
He covered
it up to save his hide.
No, sir. You're showing you don't know that subject very well.
What's the national security reason to allow a president to break into the other side's political opponent's office?
Well, the cover-up didn't really concern itself with
it. What enemy are we fighting when you break into the other side's
office?
Senator,
if you let me answer, I'll give you some information
please.
You might be able to use.
Please.
He covered it up not because of what had happened at the Watergate, where I think he would have cut the re-election committee loose. He kept them covered up because of what had happened while they were at the White House, which was the break-in into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. And that, he believed, was a national security activity.
So he had the view that you could plot a crime in the White House and that made it national security. That's absurd. That's why he got
impeached.
That isn't
what I said.
That's why you went to jail. So let's get
I did
to the
not
reality.
Go to, well.
Mr. Chairman, could please, you know, I hate to
just,
repeat.
Wait, just a minute, Senator.
This is my 5 minutes. I'd like to use it like
so
I
far,
see fit.
I asked Senator Graham to desist once, and after that, I think Mr. Dean's been defending himself pretty well.
Great.
Okay, thank you. That is a powerful exchange, and you could see John Dean was doing his best to retain his composure, and he almost accused Lindsey Graham of being ignorant, and then he used a more diplomatic phrase. Lindsey Graham displayed his ignorance quite clearly in that exchange, and he's just being a bulldog trying to beat up John Dean with a lot of distraction and disinformation.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was incredible. He didn't even realize, you know, he said that John Dean went to jail. He clearly didn't know what he was talking about. And just to sort of tie it all together a little bit here, Glenn Greenwald over at Crooks and Liars today had a great post, great find this morning that he found and that Feingold actually picked up. It was a 1969 Time magazine article when Nixon was running during his campaign. And it's pointed out they were talking about spying, warrantless spying back then, and the Attorney General at the time, John Mitchell, says, it's quoted here, saying, Mitchell refused to disclose any figures, but he indicated that the number of people who were spied on was far lower than most people might think. Quote, any citizen of this United States who is not involved in some illegal activity, he added, has nothing to fear whatsoever.
Yeah, just don't take that call from Al-Qaeda.
Sound familiar, does it? Now, 1969, that's what Nixon was running on and his attorney general at the time. It's incredible, and I got to tell you, kind of breaks my heart to see Lindsey Graham do his Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde act there, because he really seemed concerned about the laws that were broken by the White House, and for him to turn like that, I can't explain it. Can you?
No, I can't. And, you know, he has, I think, disgraced himself with the attempt to change the habeas corpus laws for detainees at Guantanamo and other places in an effort to derail the Hamdan case before the United States Supreme Court. It's a kind of meddling and frivolous legislation that we have rarely seen in the history of this country. Now, Brad, I want to come back to something you teased me with when you first came on. These hearings today, only two Democrats showed up, Russ Feingold and Pat Leahy?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I did not get to watch all of them. I've caught clips and read some of the testimony and so forth throughout the day. But, yeah, my understanding is the only Democrats to show up, Leahy and Feingold, which just, you know, blows my mind. And Leahy, we've got a clip of him referring to this whole thing as Alice in Wonderland. It really is. You've got, you know, a clear violation of the law by the President of the United States. The Democrats are afraid to show up. You've got a guy like Lindsey Graham, who was the House manager for Clinton. It turns out he was a real rule of law guy, as we learned, because he was going to take on Bush, and now he's doing a complete opposite. You've got Bob Barr, a guy who was all over Clinton, and he at least is being true to that and continuing to say that what Bush did is a clear violation of the law. And then you've got John McCain, a guy that, frankly, I used to like, who's doing his own backflip in order now to, you know, he's going to speak at Falwell's University, and he's doing everything he can now to kiss up to the president and overlook all of this stuff. I mean, it really is Alice in Wonderland gone amok, as Leahy said today. Unbelievable.
Brad, I'm getting a little political headache. We'll take a break and see if I can get rid of it. And if not, I'm just going to have to take a vacation. We'll pick up in a minute with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And visit the blog. There's a lot of powerful information there that we don't have time to talk about on the air. And that is bradblog.com. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call still, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has an exciting show this Saturday at 3 here on KRXA 540. Her topic is your pets, making healthy choices. The show is about dogs, cats, bunnies, and horses. You'll want to hear what Joan and her guests have to say. Dr. Jenny Taylor, holistic veterinarian. Emily Rosenberg, animal advocate. Rebecca Thomas, pet body worker. And Heidi Kistler of the Positively Pampered Pet. The conversation will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Did you know your pets can benefit from acupuncture, chiropractic, and homeopathic remedies? Why are dog parks so good for your dog? Is there intuition between you and your pet? How can your pet keep you healthier? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. Her shows are archived at joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Dr. Joan Kenley, Talking Matters, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time on this Friday afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
Well, Peter, a new problem in Marina northbound 1 before Del Monte Boulevard. The roadway blocked, actually one of the lanes blocked with a stalled car. And a solo car accident with a vehicle into a tree in Prunedale Castro Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. Better news for Scotts Valley, Vine Hill Road at 17. That earlier jackknife big rig cleared from the roadway, but several tree branches pulling down phone lines in the area. And Highway 9 at Redwood Gulch. We have reports of a mudslide and boulders in the lane. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you're hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Have a safe drive home tonight. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Amy. Appreciate your work.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
And Barry Lynn has Culture Shocks coming up at 6:05 tonight on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the home stretch on this Friday night. We continue our chat with Brad Friedman. Visit bradblog.com to get the lowdown on the stuff that Brad covers. And let's stop teasing people and give them the dirt on Ann Coulter, the blonde bimbo from the right. What's the latest there, Brad? Has she been fibbing about her actual residence and place of voting?
It appears she has, and it's a very odd story, but it looks as though she has given her voter registration information. She's used, she's moved down to Florida recently, and it looks as though she has registered, to vote in her real estate agent's house. It's the most bizarre thing. I have no idea why she's doing this. Her real estate agent, says that she definitely does not live here, all of which means that she recently voted in a town council election in the wrong precinct, and she was told she was in the wrong precinct, but she went ahead and voted anyway.
This well, did they give her a provisional ballot and then just deep six it?
No, I think because her it's very hard to make sense of, because her registration address is different than where she actually lived. So she went to the right precinct. They said, "Oh, you're not registered to vote here. You have to go to another precinct." She did go to the other precinct, and she did vote there, so she knowingly voted at a different precinct than the one she was supposed to based on where she lived. Now, she has been lying about it ever since, saying she doesn't live in Palm Beach, and it turns out she does. She lives on Seabreeze Avenue down there, and there's a very good reporter, Jose Lambier, I think is how you say his name, down at the Palm Beach Post, who has been covering this. And I've been in touch with him, and it turns out that she is just out and out lying about this matter. So it's been referred now to the election supervisor down there, who has sent a letter asking her to explain all of this. She's been given 30 days notice, and if there's a satisfactory explanation is not given, then he says he may refer this to the state attorney. And these are actually felony vote fraud charges that we're talking about here. She could get anywhere, I hear, from 3 to 5 years in prison for doing this, which could be quite interesting. And
and one of the little tidbits you explain here is that the value of this house that she either has bought or is buying in Florida is $1.8 million. And that shows that right-wing demagoguery pays, and pays big.
It sure does. 1.8 million. And she did buy it. She bought it in March of 2005, and we have her property record listed. Click away at bradblog.com so you can check all that out. And I promise you we will be staying on this particular story, particularly since Republicans have been going out all over the country suggesting we've got a problem with voter fraud in this country. We don't. What we have a problem with is election fraud. The voters, by and large, are doing fine, except for Ann Coulter, who feels she can do anything she damn well pleases.
Billy in Capitola, join us here on the Peter B. Show.
I've got to follow Ann Coulter. That's not easy.
Good luck.
She's entertaining, though. Let's face it. Come on. She's fun.
I don't agree, because as soon as she starts to spew her stuff about how liberals are guilty of treason just because they think that way, I don't find it amusing. I think she's a sick, twisted F.
And she's
me too, but that's, I sort of laugh at that sort of thing.
Well, it's hard to laugh at that kind of hatred. It's hard to laugh, you know, when she says these very funny jokes like, raghead talks tough, ragheads die. That's not all that funny. Joking
she wished that McVeigh had backed his truck up to the New York Times. I don't find that amusing. I think that's sick and twisted, irresponsible, and they shouldn't put her on television anymore.
And it's what's tearing
our
country
apart.
Not
what I called about, but let me just say that. But the good news is, of course, that the fact that she exists tells us so much about those crazy right-wingers so that they're easy to dismiss.
Well, perhaps, but the fact of the matter is she's a very, very dangerous person. She's lauded by the very National Republican Party.
And that's how we know how ridiculous they are.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're tight for time here, and Billy did not call to talk about Ann Coulter.
That's right. You know, I just had to hear your voice. It's been so long. You're going away for 2 weeks. I was away for 2 weeks. But
I'll just be away 1 week. Don't worry. Go ahead, Billy.
I heard the president abdicated it. He said that, didn't he say that it's up to the next president when we get out of Iraq?
Yes.
So what is that if not abdication?
Well, the mixed messages coming out of the White House and the administration about the future of Iraq are quite confusing. You have on the one hand the president talking about victory and staying the course, and then you have Condoleezza Rice hinting broadly that, our troop levels are going to be way lower by the end of this year. You have the impotent Democrats who only are willing to suggest that this is a year of transition in their much ballyhooed new plan.
Peter, I don't know why you would bring up Condoleezza Rice. What we've learned from the Bush administration is that they make their Secretary of State lie and destroy their careers for them.
Yeah, she's never going to make it as an NFL commissioner, I guess.
Well, you know. I mean, how many careers are they going to destroy by people being in the Bush administration? Who's going to be here in your absence?
Condi gave an interview in London today, and she admits to thousands of mistakes that we have made. But the course is true, and it's the strategy that people will reward in history. So if you can swallow that, I hope it doesn't ruin your dinner. Billy, thanks a lot. And, Brad, before we run out of time, I want to give you 2 minutes here to talk about our buddy Ion Sancho in Leon County, Florida. And he's in a pickle because the voting machine companies have now refused to do business with him because he insists that if he buys their machines, they have to work properly.
Yeah, we only have a little bit of time. I'll give you just some very quick headlines of what's happened this week, and you can read more, of course, at bradblog.com. But he showed in no uncertain terms that Diebold machines were hackable, and the thanks he got is none of the three companies down there, Diebold, ESNS, and Sequoia, will do business with him, and therefore the state is coming down hard on him. The good news this week is that the Attorney General in Florida is now subpoenaing all three voting machine companies down there in Florida. And it looks like he's begun an investigation into antitrust and the collusion between these companies to fight back against Ion Sancho. I'll throw in a couple of other quick headlines for you. Sequoia voting machines yesterday up in Pennsylvania have now been shown to be hackable. And the new front that I hope to talk about next week, I hope I'm here, whether you're here or not, Peter. But
we hope so, too. We're not sure, but we'll work it out.
We'll find out. Either way, I may have a big story next week following up on what we learned this week. In the state of California, the new electronic voter registration system has dumped 23% of new registered voters since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
46%. In Los Angeles County alone have been dumped.
And this is being blamed on HAVA and the stricter registration requirements. Do you buy that?
Yeah, because I know actually what's going on. I know what they're implementing and why these databases are doing this. And as I say, I hope to have more on that next week.
All right. And here's an email from Anthony. He says, as you say, the ideal way for them to fix these elections is to have a 51-49 outcome and then spin away the exit polls. But to make the whole thing go ballistic, all we need is one election that goes 100% to 0% in either direction. You reported that a professional hacker was able to break into the Diebold system undetected and alter the outcome of a trial election. If some such patriot could do just that with a real election and make it 100% to zero in even a handful of precincts, the battle to get the sleepy electorate to take notice of this would be instantly won. I guess I just suborned a crime. You want to conspire with me on that, Brad?
No, you did it. I'll leave it to you.
All right. Will you visit me at Lompoc?
Of course I will.
All right, Brad. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
talk to you soon.
Have a great vacation.
Thank you.
To you until we meet again.
I am your humble host, Peter B. I'm going to take a week off. Matt Renner, Patrick Morrow, and maybe Brad Friedman. We're trying to work out all the details. We'll be sitting in next week. I'll return on April 10th when we plug in Sacramento and Phoenix. I'll talk to you then.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated ThinkerToys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at ThinkerToys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just-renovated ThinkerToys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. This is scary, a spreading viral infection of the salivary glands, fever, headaches, muscle aches, swelling of the glands close to the jaw. CBS News correspondent Chris Mavridi says, right. It's the mumps.
245 cases in Iowa makes this the largest outbreak in the U.S. since the 1980s.
We are concerned because right now it really doesn't show any sign of slowing, and it is spreading across the state.
And across state lines. Nebraska has logged two cases as well. State epidemiologist Dr. Patricia Quinlisk says it's the same strain responsible for a huge outbreak in England.
A best guess would be somehow it got introduced here from England.
Likely at a college campus. It's there the outbreak first appeared. They're recommending college students make sure they're vaccinated. Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
If it's not the mumps to worry you, how about a strike? That's what they're talking about at the country's biggest auto supplier, Delphi.
It's tough. 29 years here, and, you know, it's just my way of life.
But Delphi's talking about closing over two dozen plants, laying off thousands. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says talks between Delphi and the UAW go on with workers over at General Motors on the edge of their seats.
Delphi supplies crucial parts to GM. A strike would force the world's largest automaker to shutter plants and cost it billions.
It's not that they don't protect the troops. Quite the contrary. Some soldiers in Iraq swear by them. Body armor they bought themselves. But now Army Major General Jeffrey Sorensen says it's all been banned by the Pentagon.
We have not seen that this capability has done anything with respect to preventing providing any level of force protection that we evaluate as even standard.
Soren says the claims from the company are just that, claims. The Army has not tested them. So better, thinner, lighter, or not, the body armor's banned. A Senate hearing today digging deeply into whether President Bush should be censured, warned over his use of warrantless wiretaps. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says while the censure may die, the issue will not.
The most striking witness was John Dean, White House counsel during Watergate, the one who helped President Nixon cover up illegal wiretaps and break-ins, then helped bring him down.
And I think it's important that the committee sometimes hear from the dark side.
Dean said President Bush is even worse than Nixon was in abusing power, and backed the notion to censure him for ordering warrantless wiretaps. Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions said that was beyond the